Snack Time on the Don and Mike Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Don is now about to eat the worm.
A live earthworm.
What are you doing?
You see it on my tongue?
Any flavor?
Tastes like dirt.
Yeah, dirt.
Yeah, tastes like dirt.
From the man who doesn't like his food touching. See, that's what amazes me.
Yeah, I'm multidimensional, but...
ABCs of me.
Yeah.
Nice round of applause.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Nice.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK. Nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's right.
Turn your radio down. Know who what you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rate women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Whenever the f*** I please.
You can get it. Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What? Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. Toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
I think we ought to have a few words from the late Ed Sullivan.
Well, I did want to deliver a few words to you. You bald-headed bastard. You made your last appearance on CBS TV.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
I miss all of you guys on vacation.
I know you did.
So you missed you too.
You know who I miss the most?
Who?
Philip, Robert, Jonathan, Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
I miss Phil too, but I don't have a message for Phil today.
You don't or you do?
Do not.
You don't?
I have a message for someone else.
Who's the message for?
My lady Kathy. I just wanted to say, Kathy W., looking good.
There you go.
KW. Good afternoon, Popeye. I'm sorry. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Dystrophy and all the ships at sea. Hey, Governor George W. Bush called them his favorite Major League a-hole. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Hara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening. Back from vacation. Glad to be back. A new episode. It's Tuesday, September 8th.
Here we are.
Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Right, our toll-free line from across America, 877-365-3636, your hotline to the hits. Hope you appreciate the fact that we did not take one of our standard Johnny Carson-like vacations, and we're actually here the day after Labor Day.
Yeah, and now surely you know they had to come and get us, but we're back.
And this is it now. Now we're like mules going through the desert. This is it. No break from now until Christmas. So for those of you...
Christmas of 2004.
Those of you who like us, you're in luck. Those of you who hate us...
Well, you're screwed because we're going to be here every day.
Yeah,
it's after Labor Day. You're going back to work. We're going back to work, too.
So here we are. Mr. Son of Bitch.
We got it.
Yeah, it only took us 2 years after the movie Rounders came out. But
it's great to come back and have a gift. I mean, this is like a present.
We finally got it.
Mr. Son of a Bitch.
Right.
There he is.
Got it. Hello, and welcome to the show. Listen, today's going to be absolutely... jam friggin' packed.
Wow. Good.
Because we've got vacation recaps. We've got some stuff to tell you. Even though we never take exotic vacations, we always have good stuff to tell you about our vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and I've got to say this. Glad to be back.
Sure.
I am, too.
Want to say that. Glad to be back.
Yeah.
Family time.
Highly overrated.
Oh, no.
Enough. Family time's a special time. Spending with the family.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was like vacations always are. It was like the first day, it was, oh, thank God. The second day, it was like, oh, it's nice not to have to think about the show. Mm-hmm. The third day, that's when I started hearing all the other voices from all of the extended family members. And by the fourth day, I think really by the fourth day, I'm ready to come back.
I got to talk you into just taking up my sport. If you take up my sport, you guarantee yourself on a vacation a minimum of 5 hours to yourself every day. And that's why, because it's golf.
Such a bore. Golf is such a bore.
Yeah, but you won't have, you know, if you learn to love it, it won't be a bore. And you'll have all that time where, you know, maybe vacations will be more special for you.
So by the end of the vacation, I was really ready to come back. But that's how it normally goes.
It's normal.
And I would imagine that probably maybe an hour, 2 hours into this show today, I'm going to do an incredible flip-flop. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wish that I was back on vacation.
Of course you are.
Such is the hypocrisy of being me. So we'll have
the ABCs of you.
We'll have the vacation recaps coming up. We're going to have Robey tell us how he got shafted by Jerry Lewis.
Oh, my God.
We'll have our annual recap of the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Yes.
We will find out all of the doings at the Dewey Beach Beach House.
Oh, that's right. That's been going on while we've been away.
Yep. They're living there right now, living large. It was Big Brother before Big Brother. It was the real world before the real world. A bunch of strangers living together in Dewey Beach, Delaware. And we will find out what happened to our engineer, Wendell Hall, on his paid-for $250 manual release date.
Oh, boy, I can't wait. I haven't seen Wendell yet, so that makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, today's show is absolutely jam-packed. Let's start with a telephone call. Against my better judgment, let's start with your telephone calls.
Get ready for the warm and fuzzies.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's up, buddies?
Hey, buddy.
I'm calling to welcome you to the Charleston affiliate. It's 910 AM WTMC. I transferred down here from Greenville after college, and I've been waiting to try and find you guys. So
is that really is that Charleston SC or Charleston WV?
It's definitely the SC.
SC, well, that's beautiful city.
Charleston, South Carolina. Okay.
Of course.
We'll be on until the station gets knocked off whenever the next hurricane hits that town.
That's right.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Rolando. I live in Charleston, SC, and I'd like to welcome you guys to the area, too. It's
is this Rolando Arroyo?
Rolando!
Rolando.
I heard the Best Of yesterday for the first time. I heard you guys for the first time yesterday doing the Best Of show, and I thought to myself, these guys are awesome.
Oh, great. Thank you.
They'll be part of my afternoon on my ride home.
All right. Well, what's the name of the station?
It's AM 910 WTMZ, The Zone, Z-O-N-E, Charleston's leader for hot talk and sports.
Right. Great slogan. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the welcome. That's a slogan that rolls right off the tongue.
The South's leader for what is it?
Something and something.
Talking sports.
I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I don't know.
Hi, I wanted to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air with us right now. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is Blake calling from York, Pennsylvania.
I feel like we're settling into our regular callers. We started with some false callers, and now we're getting closer with Blake here. Yes, Blake, what can we do for you?
I wanted to know, did you hear Dennis is going to be up here in York in the middle of September?
And that, of course, for those of you who don't know, that's not Dennis Miller. It's the other Dennis.
Right.
Dennis Murphy, yes. We're aware that he's doing a personal appearance in your town very soon.
Okay.
I heard a rumor that he's going to be traveling all the way from PG County up to York, Pennsylvania in a horse and buggy.
Hello, Don, Mike Show.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
I'd like to get your take on Dennis Miller last night. Did you watch the Monday night game last night?
Of course. How could I not watch?
Well, I mean, I thought he was great. The jacket at the beginning was awesome.
Listen, everything that I said about Dennis Miller from the first game transferred over to the game last night. The guy is friggin' hilarious. He's great. And yeah, when they went to the wide shot of him wearing the Wide World of Sports jacket,
it was great.
That was just great. The only thing I didn't like was Marble Mouth Dickerson.
And well, he's
gotten better. He's gotten a little better. They've limited some of his airtime. They're not going to those long speeches that they had.
They need more time with our girl, with our home, Melissa Stark.
Oh,
and of course, how could I not have watched that game? I had half my fantasy roster playing.
Congratulations! How much did you win this week?
Oh, let me see.
I'm counting the cash now.
$50, $70,
wow,
$80.
Man, oh, man. As you predicted, you have won the pool.
Big winner.
Everyone should understand that that's the big winner. That's not the winner of the game. That's the overall winner in our fantasy football league. That means Don's team put the most points on the board.
181 points.
Wow. Going into last night's game, Paltry, how many points did you have?
14.
14 points. Huh. You had it all riding on the St. Louis Rams, and that was the right thing to do.
Last night I had Warner. I had Akeem.
You had Rod Smith, didn't you?
I have him. I didn't play him.
Oh, you didn't play him?
I didn't play him.
Then he had a whole bunch of yards.
Yeah, I had McCaffrey. The white guy from Denver. I got Torrey Holt. Christ, life is good. Won the pot. Big winner. Fantasy football winner.
I tell you, you're going to win the whole thing if Kurt Warner continues to do what he's doing.
The first of 16 victories for my fantasy team this year.
You predict an undefeated you predict that you will win the pot. You will win the effing pot every single week.
That's right, and I want to say this to everybody in our fantasy football league right now. All of the other 12 guys who own teams, listen to me.
Pay that man his money.
Okay? Thank you.
I don't doubt it.
You have paid me the money.
Who was leading? Wasn't Larry your partner on the pregame show? Larry Michael, wasn't he leading? He must be the most disappointed of all of us.
Yeah. He had 124 points at the end of Sunday's game.
How many points did you finish with?
181.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's close to a record.
Incredible. So it's great. Listen, about football. Oh, let me start there. And then I promise we'll get right back to your phone calls. I got to tell you, two people I met at the Redskins game on Sunday. Okay? You know, I did the pregame show for the Redskins. Fifth year I've been doing it. So, you know that a couple of weeks ago, on this show, on the real show... We spent a couple... Well, the pregame show's not a real show, because on the pregame show, I'm doing all football crap. I can't, you know, say what I really think.
Uh-huh. See, you were making a reference to the Redskins on the real show.
Yeah, well, on
this
show...
I'd like to call this show. I like that.
On the real show.
The real show.
On the real show... We talked about how crappy the people from WJFK were treated at the Redskins Stadium. And, you know, Wendell came in and he was mad and they got the game day attire. And you heard the whole thing with, you know, lovely, look at Jesus Christ in the sky booth next to us. Why, he's wearing sandals and getting blood all over the place. I mean,
not being able to bring the equipment in, not being able to use the bathroom, or, you know, being sequestered in certain areas.
You heard the whole thing. So Sunday before the game, I guess it was maybe 3 hours before the game. It's about 10 o'clock. Sitting in the booth, it's just me, the Big Gum Jim, Craig Klein, a couple of other worker guys, and through the door, and I don't mean walking, I mean sprinting. And you know, I should bring McClure in to back me up on this,
right?
Hey, where is Big Gum Jim?
What's boss?
What's his phone number?
Try 882.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. Hey.
Hey, guys.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay. So listen, I'm trying to describe when Snyder came into the booth.
Oh.
He did not come walking in, correct? He came...
He threw the door almost off the hinges, and his eyes never left Don's face. I mean, the door flies open, and he was running like a dart right to Don.
So...
Hi, I'm Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, I'm sitting in a chair, and he comes up to me and thrusts his hand in my face, and he goes, "Hi, I'm Daniel Snyder." And I said, what I thought was a great response... I know who you are. And then there was a moment of silence. I didn't introduce myself to him, to the boy owner of the Redskins, because he obviously knew who I was.
What was, describe the handshake, if you don't mind. I mean, how would you characterize the, you know, you've in the past had some wonderful descriptions of, I remember Elton John's handshake in particular.
He's got a hell of a memory.
Was it Elton John, Mike?
It was a little less than Elton John.
Oh, my goodness. You described Elton John's like shaking hands with a piece of freshly kneaded dough. Or something like that. Something thereabouts.
It was like going to the grocery store and you know, putting your hand into the produce where they've got lettuce and stuff. You know, and you want to feel to get the best head of lettuce.
So it had a chilled feeling.
Yeah.
Clammy, maybe.
Cold and clammy.
Okay.
So he pumped my hand, you know, vigorously pumping my hand. Now, the whole time, he's standing and I'm sitting.
Right.
So I want to show you how he came through the door. It was like this. Like that.
Wow.
Four steps.
Really? Like lunging at you.
Virtually running in, sticks his hand out.
His jacket was flying behind him. He came walking into
the cape. Wow. Says, "I'm Daniel Snyder." I say, "I know you are." Then he said, there's about 2 seconds of silence. He said, "Understand you had some things to say on your radio show."
Ooh.
And I said,
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, at this point, I'm taken back a little bit, right? Because it's, you know, it's...
You've kind of been cornered.
Right, it's the boy wonder.
Right.
And he's calling me out on this. But now, Jimmy, you tell me, as someone who was in the room, I kind of pussied out, but I also kind of stood my ground, did I not?
You told him that you did indeed say some bad things. You didn't say, you could have easily said, no, it wasn't me.
No,
you actually did tell him, like, well, you know, we had some problems last week.
I said, you know, there was problems with the engineers and problems with the dress code and problems with us using the bathrooms up here. And there were some problems. I said, but we couldn't get on the field. I started to tell him some of the problems, and I said, but... You fixed some of them, because, you know, they do now give us passes so that we can get on the field before the game.
How about everything else that's going on up there, like with the use of the bathrooms and that? Has that improved a little bit?
Well, Mike...
I'm just asking, because I don't know. I really don't know.
It really depends who you are. Meaning that...
If you happen to have been a famous quarterback, do you get to use the bathroom on the upper floor?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Let me just say this. If you talk into a microphone, mm-hmm. as opposed to screwing a microphone together...
Yes.
You can use the bathrooms on the suite level at Redskins Stadium.
So the engineers are still getting effed?
Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, frankly, I don't care about that, because I can now go to the bathroom in the rich guy bathroom.
Because you, sir, are an air personality.
That's right, Mr. Scholarship winner.
Mr. Scholarship winner.
They're fine.
Well, what?
The talent, well, they're okay.
Yeah. Jimmy, how about you as a representative of management? And I still laugh when I say that. Do you get to use the toilet facilities?
During the game, I will use that toilet because, as I explained to him, I have about 90 seconds to run. So
okay, good.
I'll run in there when I need to.
So he says to me, I understand you had some things to say, and I went through the list with him, and he said, mm-hmm. And I said, but you fixed a couple of them. And then he looked around the room. He looked around this very small broadcast booth that we have at the stadium, and he said, why do you need all this stuff? Meaning the equipment.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. There it is right there. There it is. Without, you know, why educate yourself as to, you know, how it works?
Well, it's at that point that I had to stop myself from saying something that I'm positive would get me kicked out of the stadium.
That's right.
And as I was about, you know, to say, listen, no S, Sherlock. We need this equipment to do a radio broadcast of the football game. Jimmy stepped up and said,
it was actually Daryl.
Oh, Daryl.
God, Daryl. Was there like urine running down Daryl's leg?
Daryl Nichols said, we need this equipment to give you the finest possible broadcast.
Is that what he said?
Sir.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then he said, okay, well, thanks. And then he looked around and he said, isn't this the most beautiful stadium in the NFL?
Oh, did he really do that? Yeah. So he's kind of like... he's posturing a little.
Right, you know, right. He said, isn't this the most beautiful stadium in the NFL, as he looked around the room?
And how can you guys complain about these? This is the best seats in the house. How can you complain about this?
Right, now, and again, I'm biting my tongue because the owner of the Redskins is coming to bust my balls. Now, meanwhile, the whole time, I'm still sitting while he's standing, okay?
Oh, God.
And he's waving his arms around, going, how can you not, look at this, this is beautiful. You have the best seat in the house. And then nobody said anything. And then there had to be... maybe 10 seconds of just silence, just of Dan Snyder looking at me, just looking at me, and me looking back at him. And then I stood up, and I put my hand out, you know, like in a move, like, okay, see you later. I said, well, it was nice seeing you. And as he continued to give me this Elton John handshake, he said, so what do you think about the team this year? And I said... I think exactly what you think. And he went, okay, good. And he stood there for about 5 more seconds, just staring at me, and then turned and walked out of the room. And when he walked out of the room, as soon as the door shut, I mean, there's like 6 of us in there.
You're right.
We laughed like girls. It was like, oh, my God, what was that? What the frig was that?
That was an audience with Napoleon.
Wow.
Yeah. That's exactly what that was.
There was a moment where you could hear, like, everyone finally exhaling when the door shut. Really gone.
But it was about the funniest thing ever.
Well, and hearing it as an objective observer, it sounds to me like you guys all played it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go too far. You know, hey, guys, you know, I got news for you. I mean, if you're challenging him and you're going to, you know, try to do that,
yeah,
he'll throw you out of the stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to say, listen, Shorty, you know, our accommodations suck. Been to the stadium in Tampa Bay. It's a nicer stadium. I'm not going to say that to his face.
No. Sure.
But, I didn't back down.
How would you characterize how he felt about it? Or were you even able to tell?
No. Okay, now listen. You know I have an inflated opinion of myself.
Yes.
Take that out of it for a second.
Okay, because this sounds good. This
I'm going to be objective.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, I won the battle. And here's why I won. First, he came to me.
Right.
Okay? The great owner of the Redskins came to me, the peon pregame guy.
Right.
Second, he introduced himself to me.
Mm-hmm.
I did not introduce myself to him.
Right.
Third, I did tell him what was after up. Fourth, I gave him the sign when it was time to leave. I stood up and put my hand out again and said, well, thanks for coming by.
Right.
I think it's a victory on those four counts.
I think you're right.
That's good. If it was a cage match, I was the winner.
And
I would say,
after
especially
the last game, the Carolina game, there was at halftime when they were coming in apologizing for our waiter service not being as quick as it needed to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's good then. So maybe things will get even better.
Oh, don't
doubt that.
Don't count on it.
Next week, you guys are going to be in a box.
Don't count on it, but it was a surreal moment.
Well, especially, I think you won based on the fact that he came in with a kind of a surprise attack.
Yeah.
A full facial.
And he wasn't there with his posse. You know, he wasn't there with Drasner and Baldacci. And
that's interesting.
Dilio and all those other guys he hangs around with. All
we're
of his,
watching.
All of his handlers.
You better believe they were somewhere watching.
Well, they were
don't you have glass on either side?
Yeah, they were watching right through the window, but, I mean, he came in by himself, unescorted.
Sonny was pointing and laughing the whole time.
Who was?
Sonny.
Oh, Sonny was?
Sonny was,
yeah, of course. Yeah, Sonny probably set the whole thing up.
Well, I don't know. No,
now, there he is. Go over there. Go over there and challenge him. I guarantee you, if you get in his face, you'll terrify the boy.
Well, you know what? He didn't.
No.
He didn't.
Good.
Jimmy, score the match, please.
Yeah, you have to win. Big time.
Thank you.
I would say 40 love, Don. 40 love, you and the owner of the Redskins. Yeah.
Although, you know, if I kissed his ass a little more, I could probably be one of his butt boys. You know that Sonny came into the broadcast booth on Sunday?
You'd probably be choppering into the game if
with
you did a little more ass kissing.
With this big, gigantic humidor that Dan Snyder had just given him.
Wow.
This is my humidor, given to me by the owner. Don, you would do well to treat him with a little more respect and dignity.
Thank you for your help, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
When I was in the market for a luxury humidor, I went to the owner of the Redskins.
Hold on. Is Jimmy back? I got one more thing to say. Hey, Jimmy?
Yes.
Pleasure meeting you this weekend.
Thank you very much, sir.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. He was the guy who played in fantasy football.
Oh, that's right. He was on the losing end.
So I get done with this thing with Snyder, right? And it's halftime of the game. And, you know, once I get done with the pregame show, we go down to our seats, our club seats. And it was about 2 minutes till halftime. And I said to Frieda and Bart, I said, I'm going to go to the humidor, which is this giant room they have where you can smoke a cigar. I said, I'm going to go there. I'll meet you guys there in a second. And I walk in, and there's 2 minutes left of the half. And, I mean, it is jam-packed. So reeks of B.O., cigar smoke. It's just packed. It was 85 degrees at the stadium on Sunday, hot and sweaty. Everybody's in there. There were no chairs to be found. So I was just kind of aimlessly walking around, and I see from across the room, a hand goes up and looks at me, and the guy makes a motion like, you want this chair? I was like, oh, my God, yeah, because it's impossible to get a chair in this place. Mm-hmm. So I walk over, and I pat the guy on the shoulder. I get up to him and go, hey, thank you. Appreciate it. And as he gets up, he says, don't you recognize me? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And he says, Jeffrey York.
You know,
the prick from the Washington Post.
God. One of the other writers of the Post that hates us.
No, this guy is the king of all guys.
He's the original. I think he might be number two, but he's the original. And he's the original hater.
And incidentally, if you're wondering what to get Jeffrey York for Christmas, two items come to mind.
Yeah.
First, maybe one of those blackhead popper things.
Oh, had a little facial problem, yeah. Little acne.
And maybe an ab machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jeffrey York is now fatter than me and fatter than you.
Jeffrey York has packed down a little weight.
Yes, he has.
Wow.
And he said, Jeffrey York. And I immediately went, ugh. And I sat down in the seat, and he stood there for a second. And he said, hey, I don't hate you. And I said, I wish I could say the same. And he stood there for a second, like thinking I was kidding. And then he realized I wasn't kidding. I really hate him.
Right.
And he said, okay, well, I guess I'll see you later.
I said, he's, you know what?
No, you won't.
He's the closest thing to a stalker that I can't. The thing that's weird about Jeffrey York, this is the guy that in the Washington Post used to write the radio column, and he was never very complimentary. But the difference between the other guys and Jeffrey York is Jeffrey York would tend to pursue us. We would go to different functions, and Jeffrey York would be looking for us. And it was weird. It still is weird. And I don't doubt that the minute you walked into that room,
yeah, right,
his beady little pimply eyes probably were right on you.
My favorite Martian antennae,
sure,
came out of the back of his head.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, and what I think it is, I don't know what it is. You know, write your own description of what might motivate him. Who knows? But I think it involves duct tape and a long drive in the country.
All I know. John Wayne Gacy.
Yes, exactly.
All I know.
I don't hate you. Come away with me.
He'd look good in a clown suit. All I know is that it was one goddamn surreal day. I went back to the seat and I said to Frida, well, I got to check my horoscope.
Right.
Because I had a one-on-one with Dan Snyder for about 10 minutes before the game. And Jeffrey York just gave me a seat in the humidor and told me he doesn't hate me.
Yeah.
And Frida said, well, what did you say to him? I said, I told him I still hate him. She said, that's my guy.
But you know, but more importantly than Jeffrey York, after that meeting, do you think Dan Snyder hates you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. So the nonverbals.
There's no doubt.
Oh, really?
But listen, if you're going to make a list of people in the Redskins who hate me.
Yes.
Dan Snyder is way down because Sam has moved to number one on that list.
Things have not improved.
No.
Was there any dialogue whatsoever?
The only dialogue is when Sam Huff came into the broadcast booth and he said,
there, he's still working.
That was his comment.
Okay, he's still mad.
You're still working. Yeah.
He's still mad.
I said, right, still working, still here.
I somehow want to see that patched up. I don't care about how you get along with the owner, but I somehow just think... I think everybody would be happy. I believe it would be right with the world if you and Sam Huff were to get along well.
I'm sure if you were to ask Sam...
And I'm the man for that job.
I'm sure if you were to ask Sam, Sam would say that things are okay. And if you were to ask me,
right,
I would say to you, sure, things are fine. I say hello to him. I shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's not in my fan club.
Well, maybe I'll go to one game this year, and I'll bring a cooler.
Okay. Well, good luck getting in the booth. Because
I'll wait for you guys out in the parking lot.
No visitors allowed.
No visitors allowed. That's right. I forgot. That's Mr. Snyder's thing. Maybe I'll get the three of you guys together with a cooler.
Oh, and listen, about football. You know, that station that we're on in Green Bay, like every year they call us during the summer, and they say, we want you guys to come up and go to a game and go to a tailgate party. You know, where's the station in Green Bay coming through?
Nice.
Come on. I'd love to go to Green Bay to go to a Packers game up there. I don't want to just talk about the Redskins endlessly.
I want to go only if it's after December 7th.
Yeah. Why?
I want it to be the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
It's probably cold there right now.
Yeah, I really want it to be. I want to go to one of those games where it's unpleasant to be there.
Well, they were wearing long sleeves during the game on Sunday when I watched the Jets game.
I want to go when you can suck the air in through your nose and feel your nose hairs freeze.
And you know what else is going on in Green Bay is the fact that they've got another, you know, everybody's got a goddamn referendum to make the stadium better, to make it better. You would think of all places in Green Bay that those yahoos up there with nothing else better to do except to go to Shopko, you know, to root for the Packers, that it would be just, they just stamp it and say, yeah, okay there, take my tax money, yeah, for the Packers there.
Doesn't it work out, though, as far as taxes are concerned, pretty significant, like they're talking about $500 a year per person in the whole area?
I think less than, I heard 50, whatever it is, there is a certain amount of tax that each person will have to pay. And they're on the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 49% to 48%.
Well, you got to consider the whole area and the amount of people that actually go out to the games and all that.
The funniest thing that I heard, talking to my brother, who, you know, lives in Wisconsin.
Right.
And so this is the only way that I get any input on this. I said to him over the weekend, I said, Jesus, I see that this Packer Stadium referendum, it's real close. And my brother says, oh, yeah, well, you know, people are mad that Chewie had sex with that babysitter.
Oh, they still remember that.
And once Chewie had sex with that babysitter, they said they're not going to pay no taxes for the Packers.
Concussions.
So that's it.
They're looking for an excuse.
That's what it's all about.
Nobody likes that out-of-pocket stuff.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right.
All for Green Bay.
Go, Pack, go!
So listen, come on, come through with that trip. We're ready to go. So, the vacation. really, normally I come back with a million stories of stuff that we did. We had a very low-key vacation. We really didn't do a lot. Unlike our last vacation where we came back, and I think both myself and Frida agreed. I think she even said so on the air that it was not the greatest vacation we'd ever had. Mm-hmm.
Any particular reason for that? Just not very eventful?
No. What I mean is this one was good. The last one, the 4th of July one, was the one that was the
disaster. Oh, that was the one where you guys just... But it was just because you weren't really getting along that
right,
well.
We were arguing the whole time.
So it's this one that was okay.
Yeah, this was fun. I just don't have a lot of great stuff to tell you.
You weren't almost killed?
No, I'm sorry. I've got nothing like that for you this time.
Okay.
I've got nothing. All I did was, went to a couple of movies with my wife, I took my kid to work. We went to a nice restaurant. Oh, I know what. The one thing I do want to tell you.
What? I always look forward to, last time, this is two vacations in a row. I usually can count on at least one near-death experience, or you save somebody from some kind of crash on one of the two. You normally don't go two in a row. This is the second row where you haven't had anything, like, life-threatening happen.
No, absolutely nothing.
All right.
Except, you know what? I probably have saved lives. Right. And I'll tell you why.
How?
Because
I knew you wouldn't let me down.
Because I got rid of that Volvo. And I got that death machine off the highways.
Absolutely.
We had to go all the way to the Eastern Shore. I mean, we decided we're going to trade in that car. Everybody knows the problems I had with that Volvo are documented. Things are a piece of garbage. But we thought about trading it in, and we thought, we can't take it to a dealership in the D.C. area.
So where did you say it? Leisure World? Out of the listening area.
Way by Ocean City. I mean, we went, I F you with that. I know now what you're thinking.
Okay. I'm only saying what you would say to me. I am only saying what you would say to me.
Buzz, do you know the kind of car I purchased?
The new one? No. No, I don't.
Make a guess.
I'm going to say a Toyota.
Can I give Buzz a non-verbal clue?
Sure.
Hey.
That's verbal.
Oh, wow.
That's verbal.
You got an Oldsmobile Buick.
No, I did not. I did not.
I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Hey.
A Cadillac?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. My life is officially over.
Hey, can I be very honest with you?
I bought a Cadillac.
I only say that to you because it's what you expect me to say.
Oh, and it's what I said to myself.
But I don't really feel that way. I would say if there was anybody that had a chance of getting a car like that, it would have been me before you. And I was delighted to hear that you got that car. But it was so funny.
Freaking Cadillac.
You called me specifically the other night to tell me that you had got
a Cadillac.
You were not from the deal.
However, you were not the first. I called Rob from the dealership.
Rob is the Cadillac man all the way.
I'll be the first to congratulate you. It's nice. It's nice to have another American car owner on the show.
He's
isn't
a GM,
it?
Man.
Yeah, I like that. I like
very
that.
Very happy.
Yeah, we were sitting in the dealership, and Frida said, who do you possibly need to call? And I said, I have to call Rob. She said, why do you have to call Rob? I said, Rob's the only person who will truly appreciate this purchase. It was one day when Rob was in here playing the tapes, and I called him, and it was in the deal. I said, Rob, I can't speak loudly. Just want to let you know something. I'm buying a Cadillac.
Yeah!
It sounds funny. It sounds funny when you see you buying a Cadillac, and you bought a Cadillac, and you didn't buy the old man Cadillac.
Well, listen, there is no such thing as a Cadillac that's not an old man Cadillac.
They're as comfortable as a pair of lock ports.
Yeah. I was at Big Kmart.
I'm ready for the insults.
I was at Big Kmart today, and I almost bought Don a hat. It said the Bassmasters Classic, and I was gonna buy you the hat. You need a collection of hats, maybe to put like in the back of the window.
Listen, there's nothing you guys can say that I haven't already heard.
What's the thought process behind the cat? How
from
did it
my
happen?
Wife?
How did it happen?
From my son. Oh my God, my son was merciless on me.
Really?
When we pulled up in this car, he's like, a Cadillac? A Cadillac? What's wrong? Well, here's the thought process. We're driving around. We went to all these different dealerships. We went to Toyota. We went to Mazda. We went, we looked at the nice cars. We looked at Lexus. We looked at BMW. And we looked at all these cars, and basically, they're all the same. Except that some of them, they charge you double the price.
Right. Yeah.
So she says to me, after we've been looking around for a while, Frida said, listen, really, within reason, if you could drive any car you wanted, just think about it and tell me, what kind of car do you want? And I know that she was waiting for me to say, like, one of those goddamn $100,000 Mercedes, one of those incredibly, you know, overpriced, overbearing cars. And I said to her, and it just came to me. I said,
best of all, it's a Cadillac.
A Cadillac. Wow,
that's, really? I didn't know that.
So that's what I want.
Cadillac came to your mind. So all
it's
that
a Cadillac.
Time, let me see. I want to see if I've got this right, that all that time, back in the days when you used to make fun of Rick D's.
Well, that's different, Mike.
In some way, you were jealous of him driving his Cadillac while you were driving your moped.
And did they have the pink one in stock?
Your memory.
You can leave a message or not.
Well, I don't know where she is. Your memory.
I just remember stuff that I thought was funny. And I remember that you know, that, of course, the one he had.
Well,
and the one, you know, they've made them a little smaller. Let's at least say that. They've made them a little smaller.
Well, no, mine is so big. I told Mike I couldn't back it into the parking spot today.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Rob, don't we have that Al Pacino drop in from...
I
don't know where my wife is.
If I'm thinking right, your car and my car have the same General Motors chassis.
Yeah, I think
same
so.
Same size. So she says to me, if you could have any car you want, what would it be? And I thought long and hard about it. It was like, you know, Mommy has finally said anything you want.
Right.
And I said, a Cadillac. And she said, you're kidding me. And I said, no, a Caddy. That's what I want.
You've always, whenever we've had road trips and we've had to rent a car,
I always rent one.
And we both agree that the Cadillac is our favorite car to rent on the road because they really perform well.
Yeah.
And now you're driving a Cadillac.
Wow.
And smoking a cigar.
And drinking martinis.
And drinking martinis.
Yeah, what the hell has happened to me?
You're growing older.
What the hell has happened? What has happened to me?
You're drinking martinis, smoking cigars, and driving a Cadillac. If you start borrowing his shoes, the end is very near.
So we go into the dealership, as you know, it's the end of the year and stuff, and you get a car real cheap. And they gave us a good price. I told them the one I wanted, and they showed me the car, and I took it out for a drive. And the whole time, I'm just praying that they don't find out the myriad of problems that are wrong with this Volvo.
Right.
I mean, as we were driving to the dealership, the smoke started coming out of the hood again.
Oh, dear.
As we were driving to the dealership, okay?
The winner car.
So
there you go.
So we pulled up, and I said, you know what? We better just let it sit for a second.
Leave the engine running.
No. We didn't want to leave the engine running.
Because there'd be more smoke.
Because the smoke would keep coming out.
Oh, my God.
So we stopped for a second. What we did was just kind of cruise in. We just kind of rolled down the hill into the dealership. And we parked in front of the dealership. We go in, see the car, take the car out for a test drive. Then they say, okay, now we're going to have to appraise the car you're trading in.
Right.
I was like, oh, please, God, no smoke out of the engine. Please, God. And fortunately, the guy from the dealership, maybe this is my wife, honey.
Did you just try and call me, Shuggy?
I did. I'm talking about buying a car. Unfortunately, the guy from the dealership, he's such a mook. He takes the car out, like, for 2 minutes, and he comes back and he goes, hey, that's a nice car. And I said, you're damn straight that's a nice car.
There you go. That's fine.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
Well, you did, but you couldn't let it go. You had to give him the secret warning.
Well, no. Not the guy who appraised the car. There was one guy,
the salesman. I'm talking about the salesman.
No, I'm talking about the redheaded guy that appraised
it. Oh. Well, yeah, the appraiser, sure.
So he appraises it, and he comes back, and he gives us a price. And it's like, we look at each other, and we just go, yes. Yes, we'll take it. And he turned his back, and I said to Frida, fuckers. It's so nice for James. I'm sure we got ripped off on this car like we get ripped off on every car that we buy.
God knows what we bought. I mean, he might have been saying the same thing.
No, everybody gets ripped off on cars. Yeah.
At least one time it was sweet.
Well, you're freeing yourself of a demon.
Go, fuckers. Take the car that refuses to run. Take it off our hands.
Frida, how do you like the new vehicle?
Oh, I'm sure that it'll be very popular at the retirement community.
Oh, God, so shame.
If we hang on to it that long, he'll be a big fish in that pond.
You know what I just told him, honey? I don't know if you're listening or not. I just told him. I said, you said to me, any car you want,
right.
What is the one car you would get? And I thought about it for a couple of those, and I came back and I said, a Caddy.
Right. No, I was willing to go, you know, against all my car rules and all my insurance rules because you were down that day to, you know, to agree to whatever you wanted.
Yeah. This is why the ABCs of you are a constant ongoing study, because I would have thought, seriously, of any car that you would not buy, it would be a Cadillac, based on the fact that I think Rob has mentioned it. I think I've mentioned it in the past that we were thinking maybe about getting one. And your reaction was something like,
You know, I said, DeFrieda, well, think about it. Every time we travel anywhere, whenever I can rent a car.
You rent a Cadillac.
I rent a Cadillac.
And you rave about it.
And the last time that you and I were in one together.
Oh, it was a newer one, and it was fantastic.
I said, I should really get one of these cars. And the problem is that there was this guy in the dealership, one of the sales guys, as my piece of crap possessed Volvo
demon car
was sitting outside just waiting for the engine to blow up, and while we were just praying to God that we'd sign the papers before they found out, you know, what kind of car they're getting.
Right.
The sales guy kept coming up to me, not the girl who sold us our car, but this other sales guy.
Not the child that sold us our car.
Yeah, not Colleen from Survivor. This girl who sold us our car was a dead ringer for Colleen from Survivor. And as she told us, yeah, she's 21.
Hey, you can do that. You can sell cars at 20. Hey, you usually don't see Cadillacs being sold by 21-year-olds. That's pretty impressive.
First one she'd ever sold.
Really?
Wow. She was more the hostess of the dealership.
Yeah,
she couldn't make a decision.
Yeah, the manager does all the things.
Right.
So this one sales guy kept coming over while we were endlessly waiting for the paperwork to go through. He said, that's a beautiful car. Why are you getting rid of that car? And, you know, I had to lie to him. I said, it's just not me. I'm more a Cadillac guy. He said, that's a beautiful looking car. That doesn't look like a Volvo. I said, no, it's a great car. I mean, I lied right to the guy's face. I said, runs like a champ. Never had a problem with it. It's just not me.
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
No, you said, well, it's just not me. I mean, which, you know, technically, in terms of karma and God, is not a lie.
Yeah, it's just not you, because you don't like cars that are possessed by the devil.
So we get through with all the paperwork, okay? And we agree on the deal, we give them the check, and everything's done. And it was at that point when, again, the same sales guy came up to me and said, that is a beautiful car. I'm thinking about buying that car myself. That's a beautiful car. And I just said to him, good luck.
Well, he could visit it. If he works at a dealership and they have a shop there, he could keep it there.
I said to the guy, I said, good luck. And he said, good luck about what? And I said, good luck. It's like, I couldn't lie to the guy anymore.
You're dying to tell him the whole thing.
It's a horrible car.
And as we were leaving, the guy said, oh, you're scaring me now. And then we just kind of waved goodbye. And he was saying, oh, I'll go back to my original thought. I think you said enough to scare him off.
Yeah, because I felt bad for this guy. Yeah. You know, I mean, the guy wanted to buy the car.
Hey, think about how many people he's going to do it to.
Oh, I know.
I know.
Yeah. Stick it in you.
That's when I stick it in you.
So we went home and we got a Cadillac now.
That's fantastic.
Got a caddy in the garage.
Unbelievable. Did you drive in the far right-hand lane?
Yeah, I got him a hat.
You know what concerns me?
He's way down in his seat.
I just want to make sure the Cadillac doesn't affect your personality, because something you said to me when you came in today. The only thing that scares me about this is when you said you're afraid to back into the parking space. And I picture this thing to be too long.
Well,
now, I've always recognized you as being a person that is not afraid to take challenges. I don't consider that backing into that parking space. That's the kind of thing that a senior citizen would say.
You know that those parking spots we have downstairs,
they're very, very, very tight.
They've made them smaller.
They're very dangerous.
And we have those.
You could kill someone.
We have those big goddamn cement pillars.
I'll tell you, I'll never back in there again.
Listen, at some point I'm going to back in, but allow me my honeymoon period with the car.
You're worried about getting a ding on the car.
Of course I am.
Some of the cars down there have scratches all over them.
I know that. Some of them do, I know. He got his stuck down there.
Oh. Yes, absolutely.
He got it stuck down.
Only because he tried to back into the parking space.
So, honey, you know, talking about the vacation and saying, unlike our last vacation from hell, this was actually a very pleasurable one.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed being with you.
And I did with you, too. And, you know, I was a little more open-minded this time. She wanted to go to this restaurant. And I said, sure, I'll try a new restaurant for you. And she takes me out to the boondocks. I mean, we are, like, in deliverance country. And we pull up in front of this restaurant God is my witness. It looks like a bait and tackle shop.
Wow.
And I think it used to be. And it still is the kind of place that sells you a 12-pack if you need one to go.
I mean, this place looks like Cletus Redneck Heaven. And I said to her, this is the restaurant? And she said, this is the restaurant. Come on, try it. Try it. Try something new. So I said, okay. Walked inside, sat down on the plastic chairs, was handed the plastic knife and fork.
Seafood place?
Yeah. All kinds of food. Seafood, and, duck.
Wow.
And proceeded to have simply the finest meal I've ever had in my life.
Isn't that cool? And, isn't it, and when you go to a place that looks like that from the outside, isn't it even more fun? Because you go in there and you feel like you know something now that not everybody else knows.
Yeah.
And that makes it 10 times as good.
Yeah, we liked it so much we made a reservation for later.
Did you catch the early bird special?
You know,
oh, look
at that. The day we were buying that caddy, we had to take a break while they got our paperwork. So we went for a 4 o'clock dinner at Ruby Tuesday.
We did.
God bless you.
We did. We truly did. Will you let Frida drive it when it's time to pick up the prescriptions?
Okay. F you, and F you. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Love you, honey.
All right. I love you, too, boo-boo.
And just remember this. It's a mobster's car, okay?
It is.
It's not an old guy car.
That's right.
It's a mobster's car.
Forget about it.
I got the Fleetwood Brum.
Watch, analyze this.
Right.
Watch the car that Jelly drives.
No, watch Donnie
car.
Brasco.
Donnie Brasco, right.
Right. Well, that's the older model, honey.
They had in their literature, they were quoting Donnie Brasco.
You know what?
There you go.
She did point that out to me at the dealership that in some piece of propaganda while we were waiting for the paperwork, she said, look at this. And the very first line said, the Cadillac, as Donnie Brasco says.
Oh, my.
Then she was rummaging around, and she picked up this book for the salespeople, which gives them all of these rebuttals.
Right. Selling points.
Selling points, like if someone wants to buy a different model car,
sure.
Why you should say that this car is better. And on the way out, we were reading it and laughing at it because it's like it's written for an idiot. And on the way out, I said to her, hey, where's that book? I want to read that on the air. That was so funny with those rebuttals. And she said, oh, that's not something they hand out. That was just a book that they had left sitting on the counter, and Frida just picked it up and started
probably from
it.
Your 21-year-old salesperson who was learning the ropes.
I'm sure.
The new salesperson selling. Did she really sell you her first Cadillac? Was sold to you?
Yes.
That is very cool.
Right. Easiest sell she ever had to do. All she had to do was say that she would buy that Volvo, and she didn't even know it, but that at that point, the deal was done.
Perfect.
So I don't think she'll lose her job because of that.
The deal was done. All right. Love you, honey.
All right. I love you, boo-boo.
Love you. See you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, and I got... listen, we have to do a break. Remind me just... one more thing I have to tell you about the vacation. That involves the car.
Very cool. And you know, I don't want to, like, try to influence you, but it's a hell of a road trip car. Road trip! Road trip!
Got plenty of room for you, boys.
It does. It does.
Plenty of room.
We could be definitely the gang going out.
And listen, don't even think you're going to call me today with all this crap about, now you bought a Cadillac because you're a Republican. Because I've heard that, too.
I didn't even process that one. But now that I heard it, it makes a hell of a lot of sense.
I got that one from my father-in-law. It said to me, oh, it makes sense. Got a Cadillac.
Did you get your W bumper sticker for it? You know, and I know he endeared himself to you.
Hey.
Even more with his calling some guy an a-hole.
Not just an a-hole, a major a-hole.
Major a-hole.
So that guy's a major league a-hole. That's my man. Patty Bush. Right. That's a great car to drive to the Republican voting booth. Listen, how freaking surreal is that?
It is. Very.
Driving a Cadillac.
Something's happened.
I know.
Something's happened.
I could have gotten any car I wanted. That's it.
Some people age over time. You just decide to do it all in one year.
Clear the lines. But I still get plenty of boners.
No good.
I still get plenty of boners.
See, a senior citizen wouldn't be talking like that.
No. Right. I got a boner right now.
Right.
You know what a senior citizen, if they're listening to that right now, they're going, oh, jeez.
Yeah, right.
Turn that crap off.
Listen, let's clear the lines. Try to give away the money.
Hey, that's me and his money.
Right. We do have $500. We're continuing with the secret sound because we don't have a winner yet. The last secret sound number 8.
We still don't have a winner.
Nope. Give you a shot at the money if you're caller 100 right now. Phone number 877-365-3636. The last thing I want to say about this car?
Yes.
It's bloody good. Bloody good, Mike.
Bloody great purchase, Donald.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you push up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
They both prefer masturbating in the morning. Don and Mike.
Sure do.
Did this morning.
Did you really?
Yep.
Clean the pipes right before work.
No, I mean this morning.
Early?
Yeah.
Really?
Like today's show early.
7 a.m. early.
Yeah. One of those double features. One of those 1099 double features.
Those are great, aren't they? There's only one that offers a double feature. That means you're watching the real stuff. I knew you couldn't stay away from
it. You know, though.
I knew you couldn't stay away.
You know. I don't do my business during that part.
Well, no, but, I mean, it's hard to do that anyway.
I do go back to look.
Yeah, sure.
It's gross, but I look.
Exactly. Well, it's the real stuff. You're not getting edited.
I'm just being honest with you.
It's not being censored. That's
on
it.
On DirecTV, there's a channel now where if you buy your porno, I know we've discussed this.
Right.
You get two pornos for $10.99, and they show you everything. They show you
the whole thing.
The geese. Mm-hmm. Everything. And
right.
there was one girl who...
Can I ask you a question before you start? Because I'm just wondering whether we're
I don't think I'm going to be able to finish. I don't think I can...
Was there a surf shop involved? Were there surfers? Surfboards?
No, there weren't.
Okay. All right, there's one with a surfboard.
But there was one girl who was on the floor,
mm-hmm.
who was sitting on the floor... Indian style.
Right.
There's about five guys around her.
Yeah.
And poor girl needed an umbrella.
It was
raining geese.
Yeah, they go pretty crazy.
And I mean, you know, she's applying it.
I'm not
like,
a fan of that either.
She's applying it like SPF 15.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, she's like rubbing in her arms, rubbing on her face.
I'm not a big fan of that.
You know, it's like...
I'm not a big fan of that. But it's, you know, much like an auto wreck.
Yeah.
You just can't help but look.
Right. Hey, listen, I paid the $10.99.
Yeah. And, you know, I just wish there was some way to manage those expenses. You know, it wasn't $10.99. Like if you could say, you know, like frequent flyer miles, you know, if you prove to them... You know, I'd rather like lay down. If you added up all those costs,
right,
for a year,
you know, a regular movie's $3.99.
Yeah,
now.
They bumped it up
on DirecTV. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing? Call 100.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Jim.
Jimbo.
Rancho Cordova.
Jim, where are you from?
Rancho Cordova, California, outside Sacramento.
Jim, oh, now you won a great prize, Jim. You won the Any Given Sunday prize back. I endorse this movie from Blockbuster Video, Any Given Sunday, with Diaz, Pacino, Quaid, and Fox. Available to rent on VHS and DVD at Blockbuster Video. Are you ready to go for the big money?
Yes, I am.
Do you remember Secret Sound number 8?
I think so.
I'll give you a free listen right now.
Sure, thanks.
This one's a freebie. Remember that? The little click sound?
Yeah.
And your cue is bathroom.
Okay.
Bathroom's your clue. Identify that sound. You'll win $500. We'll give you 15 seconds. Think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet. Doug Speed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. A common, everyday sound. A sound that I believe Rob and I have discussed probably in all of our bathrooms. Me, Mike, Buzz, Rob A.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes! Yeah! Probably, wouldn't you agree, the only person on the show who doesn't have that sound in their home is Charles Broyhill?
Yeah.
Simply because it's never used?
That's right. Too much trouble.
Okay.
For $500, what's the sound?
Shower door opening or closing?
No. Absolutely not. Thank you, though. And don't forget that every guess is a clue for you. Buzz, what did you write down?
Oh, this. Sorry?
Floss case closing. No.
No.
Shampoo. No, Mike.
Oh, okay. I figured he didn't use it.
Thought I had it.
Think bathroom, guys.
Okay.
Think bathroom.
Ma'am.
Okay, so listen, one last thing from the vacation.
Yes.
So, I got the old man caddy, and we're coming back from the beach. And anyway, we had to come back for the Redskins game on Sunday. So we're coming back. And I got the cruise control.
62.
Right.
Digital speedometer.
Cool.
No problem about speeding.
Right.
So just kind of laying back, saying, this is a great car.
Best of all, it's a Cadillac.
I love this car. God damn it, it's a Cadillac. I know, but I can't help it. I love it. And all of a sudden, I hear, beep, beep, beep. There's one of Maryland State Finest.
Oh, my God.
Now, I immediately say, I'm going 62. He's going to pull me over for doing 62 and a 55. No.
You got it on the digital readout with the big easy-to-read letter.
F you. Listen, you're going to love that car. I'm going to take you for a ride in that car.
I do love that car. You know I love that car. I'm all for that purchase.
So I can't figure why I see the lights, and then I hear he's saying something to me through the loudspeaker. But I've got the windows up. So now he's right next to me. We're on Route 50, and I put my windows down, and he says, your eyes are playing. And again, I'm looking around, and I go, huh? I'm like, and I'm looking at Frida, go, what did he say? She goes, I don't know, were you speeding? And I look at the cop again, and I'm going, huh? Like right. This? And then he says, your eyes are playing. Pay over. So again, we don't know what we've done. Pull the car to the side of the road.
I think it's too easy. Did you leave your signal on?
No.
Stop it.
I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
Stop it. Okay.
Cop comes up to the car and he says, hi, how you doing? I said, fine. I said, it's a brand new car. I had this cruise control on. He says, your license plate is on upside down. the temporary tag.
Oh, God.
And I said, oh, really? I said, I didn't even, you know, it's one of those things they do at the dealership.
Right.
I said, I didn't even notice it. He said, it's against the law. He said, I see it all the time.
People, well, how can they, I mean, what people, idiot does that?
People with, I said, really? And then the cop said, yeah, people put their regular license plates on when they get them from DMV. They put them on upside down all the time.
I can't ever imagine doing that.
And, you know,
to make it harder to read. Oh, really?
Do they really, Buzz?
Yeah.
Well, I had no freaking idea. And I said to the guy, oh, you know, I didn't even know it. It's a new car. He says, no, I'm just telling you, you want to change that because this is something that an officer will pull you over for and will write you a ticket for. And then the guy actually went to his car and got out one of those screwdrivers, mechanical screwdrivers.
Oh, and he did it for you?
And actually went to the back of the car and undid the screws and said, see, upside down.
That's the only thing, you know, if you say people do it on purpose, I can't imagine why they do that in a dealership.
No reason I can think
somebody's just choosing not to think that dumb.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Set, Mr. Geronimo. Remember, best of all, it's a Cadillac.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Have a nice trip.
Right. So, you know, we got a little flipped out, but then the cop ended up being very nice, and he said, how come you didn't respond? And I said, well, because it sounded like this. And he said, and actually the cop was very nice. He said, no, come on. He says, that's very legible, my speaker. He said, I wasn't even going to pull you over. I was simply telling you that your license plate was on upside down. And I said, really? We couldn't understand you. And he said, okay, let me go to the car and check it out. So at this point, we're standing on the side of the road.
You've got your ear up to the grill of his car.
And he has just been nice enough to change the license plate.
Right.
And he goes to his car, and he gets it on his thing, and he goes, and he gets out of the car and he says, did you guys hear that? And I said, yes. He said, what did I say? I said, I think you were saying the alphabet. And he said, I was. Was it hard to tell? And then I said, this is why this guy's a great cop.
Right.
I said, why don't you stand back here with my wife and let me talk into it?
This isn't a manual. I mean, is he making a good call doing this? Because are they supposed to do? I don't think they're supposed to do this.
The motor was shut off.
Okay, all right.
So he said, okay. He what he did was he went to the driver's seat. He got the thing you press down and talk into, like the walkie-talkie. He pulled it out of the driver's side window. So I was not in the car.
Right.
I was standing next to the car. He's standing back in my car with Frida, and he gives me the sign, go.
And you know how to prove your point, too. I know you know how to prove your point. I bet you pressed those lips into that microphone.
Right up to it.
Absolutely.
And when I did it, I couldn't even make it out. I said, yeah. And he said,
Wow, you're right.
He didn't know that you were an expert in microphone technique.
You're absolutely right.
That's great.
He said, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I said, turn the volume down and turn it down and hold it further away from your mouth. So now we're on the side of the road.
You're giving him a DJ lesson.
We're on the side of the road with a goddamn Maryland State Trooper wearing a Smokey the Bear hat.
Your license tag is upside down.
And he's going back to the car. He gets back inside. He turns around. He gives us the okay sign. We give him the thumbs up and he goes,
great scene.
He goes, hey, good. And I go like this. Back away, back off. And finally he goes, A, B, C, D. And I go, that's it. That's the center. That's it. The guy gets out of his car, goes back, he goes, puts out his hand. Thanks very much.
Just a sound check with a police officer.
Thanks very much. And I said to him, thanks for changing my license plate. And he said, have a great holiday.
Sounds like isn't it a wonderful exchange when that happens?
Yeah, I mean, that's a one in a million with a cop.
It was Officer Tony Coulter.
The mad dog.
Right.
It's one, just one in a
million. Hey, thanks a lot, Buzz.
So we got done with pulling away. I said, is that the nuttiest thing that's ever happened?
It's amazing.
And she said, well, yeah, it's nutty with the license plate being upside down, but it's nuttier with you giving the guy a mic check for his in-car microphone.
I bet the rest of the evening he was probably fining people to pull over with that PA system, you know?
Hey, hello there. Please pull over.
Hey, how do you like my car? Right now. Right now.
Oh, anyway, that's all I had for you.
That's great.
That's the vacation. Let's do a quick break. I want to hear about your vacation.
Yeah, you know, very similar to yours. Not a very eventful vacation. Only one near fatal accident.
And, I see that Mike the CP comic is on the phone. You know, he was going to be on the Jerry Show.
Oh, yeah, he's supposed to be on the main stage.
Over the weekend. And, Rob, I'm pretty sure that they did to him like they did to you.
Pretty sure they did.
You know, Rob was just crushed. Because, you know, for whatever reason, Rob loves Jerry Lewis. I mean, it tapes the telethon every year, all 24 hours, however long the stupid show's on. 21 and a half hours. So Rob calls up, and he volunteers.
Yeah, and he's, the last couple of years, he's been featured and interviewed.
So he volunteers to be like one of the disc jockeys sitting up on the panel.
Right.
When they come up.
And this year he got bumped by Kathy Whiteside.
The starboard. They told him yes, and then they called and said no because he's involved with this show. That Rob could not participate in the Jerry Lewis telethon.
That is my suspicion. That is my suspicion.
So they didn't come out and tell you that?
No, they said that they got a sudden rash of donations for the hour that I was scheduled on. But the thing that troubled me is that they still did the starboard that hour. Just Jerry Clark did it.
See, listen to him,
sweaty Jerry Clark.
Who knows what the hell a starboard is?
A silver star is for a donation of $250, and a $500 pledge will get you a gold star.
But your history and your relationship with Jerry, not Lewis Clark.
Clark and I, you know, Jerry Clark's always been really nice to me. I don't mean that he was big and fat and sweaty. Hatred talking.
Why this crushes you is because I know the truth of the whole thing. You were actually thinking about replacing Jerry Clark.
Hold on, yes. Let me just...
Yeah, someday.
It's very tough to get a brief answer out of Mike the CP comic.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk to him at length in a second. Mike, yes or no, did Jerry put you on or not?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that sucks.
Hold on, we'll come back to you, okay?
Yes.
Is this Mike the CP comic?
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right,
he knows how to keep it brief.
Right. Okay, gotcha. You know what? It's too bad that you didn't see that. I tried to call Rob on Friday night.
Yeah.
I was watching Larry King.
I was out of town. I'm sorry. I would have loved to have taped it.
When Jerry was on.
Jerry.
And it was Jerry being Jerry.
Which is the funniest Jerry serious Jerry.
Holding court.
I am the king of comedy, Jerry.
He was talking about how he's one of the great directors of our time and how all the usual crap. Only a few people can do what he does. But the one nugget I got was Larry King says to him, Jerry, when are we going to have the cure for MD? And Jerry Lewis says, Larry, first, it's muscular dystrophy. It's not MD. And Larry says,
MD?
MD? He says, no. In my home, we don't use initials. For instance.
Oh, God.
My wife will say to me.
The sanctimonious Jerry.
And he seriously goes, my wife will say to me, what's on TV? And I say to her, we don't have a TV. We have
a television.
Oh, boy, there's a lucky lady.
Right. Sure. No. So, and I guess, you know, you couldn't say to Jerry Lewis,
BFD.
Hey, right. You could say, hey, that's a nice VW.
Sure.
Say, that's a nice Volkswagen. So he goes through
UAH.
A gigantic diatribe about how wrong it is to call muscular dystrophy MD, and how in his home, everything, Larry, and he's doing that thing where he's got his sleeves rolled all the way up.
Yeah, his little sweater outfit that he wears, the golf shirt under the sweater.
Yeah, and he's got the gold chains on.
Right.
Talking about, marvelous.
Was he sucking on a lozenge?
Yes, he was.
Oh, he's such an a-hole.
He was. It's marvelous. In our house, Larry, it's not TV. It's television. Okay, you don't watch TV. You watch television. And meanwhile, Larry King's there, like his faithful dog, going, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
That's fantastic. Jerry Lewis,
I love you. Your calls coming next.
Pretty damn quick. I won't say PDQ.
Hold on, we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I must not scream. I must not scream in front of them. I must stay. I must not listen to my mind. I must not run off the set. I must not run. I must not run. I know. I know I'll break down. They'll find out I'm weak. They'll find out I'm in pain. Oh, God. What God? I will break down, look like a fool, an idiot. They'll find out I can't act. Can't act. Can't act at all. End of the vision. Well, there must be a way out. And my mind is telling me there's a way out. You get a nice, cool gun.
We'll talk with Phyllis Diller and continue with our panel right after this. Don't go away.
Outrageous, if you please. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, I was just thinking about that game last night again. Well, here's how the thought process started. I was thinking, reached in my pocket and felt the money again.
Felt the cash. Nothing, in my opinion, really nothing better than winning the big prize in our fantasy football league. And would you not agree that this year people are more into it than ever before? I know I am. I'm more into it than I've ever been.
So I reached into my pocket. I felt that, oh, I don't have any money. I thought, oh, wait a minute. Oh, yes. Christ, I got all kinds of money. I won the money. And then I thought how excited I was last night when Kurt Warner threw the pass to Oz Hakeem, because it was a 70-yard pass that counted 30 points for each guy, since I had both Kurt Warner and Oz Hakeem. That one play alone was worth 60 points. Then when I got done reliving all of that, I was thinking about something else Dennis Miller said last night that made me laugh, which a million things he said. And what I forgot to say to you about all of this was, did you get the same feeling I did that Al Michaels is not really on the same page?
Oh, most definitely.
As Dennis Miller. It's like
Al Michaels,
he's tolerating Dennis Miller.
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's what Al Michaels doesn't have, that kind of sense of humor, and to take the cues from Dennis Miller and to just work with him. I think he's learning it. I think he can learn. He's a smart enough guy to learn it. But Al Michaels is wrapped tight. I said that at the very beginning. He's wrapped a little tight. You got Dan Fouts that kind of brings that equation down.
Well, Dan Fouts is the Sam Huff of that show.
They do have the sync down where they've got it in sync. That, you know, Al Michaels calls the game. You got Fouts with the analysis. And then they give. But they're really, on a lot of plays, did you notice that they give Dennis Miller just a little too little time to say even the briefest of comments before the play would start again? But a couple, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just got the feeling it was like Al Michaels was not helping him out. Dennis Miller would say something that was funny, standalone funny, but what it needed was Al Michaels to come back with some kind of buffer.
Or to laugh. Yeah. Or to actually just have a natural reaction to it.
The funniest line of last night had to be when Dennis Miller said, I know a lot of people think I'm going to be saying the F word a lot this year, but I'm going to be saying it because of Marshall Faulk. That's a funny line. I laughed. There was silence, and Al Michaels goes,
third and two from the St. Louis 5. And what I wanted to hear in that, when he said that, which was a funny line, was I wanted to maybe hear them laughing about it, you know? And they don't, neither guy, Fouts nor Al Michaels, they seem to have this desire that if they go along with Dennis Miller too much, they're going to lose control of the game, and that's the last thing they should do. They should let it be a new experience, because, I mean, the game is the game. It's the TV, not the television. They've got the pictures there. Let it speak for itself. But I think Al Michaels is,
You know, just like he's been with all his other partners, he's a great play-by-play guy, great serious sportscaster, but he doesn't seem to want to play when it comes to having fun.
I just got the feeling, watching it, that he could have helped Dennis Miller
right
a little more. Not that Dennis Miller needs the help, because right. Dennis Miller had his football stuff down fine, he had his funny stuff down fine, but it's like, he's delivering these great lines, one right after the other.
I laughed when he said, you see the thing where they had the three shot of them, and he was wearing the yellow jacket again, and they said, what do you think, Dennis? He said, oh, Skittles! Yeah. And he reaches right yeah. into the camera to grab Skittles. And they both, and that's another one where they didn't laugh, and they were just, you know, Al Michaels looked seriously like, I have gone to you for your analysis. What have you done?
It was like something Homer Simpson would do.
Right.
He said, and let's go to Dennis now. Dennis, what's your thoughts going in the second half?
And
Dennis said,
and you know something, now that it comes back to me, that's the exact circumstance where what you say reminds me that Al Michaels could have said something funny, could have made the transition and let that stand
just
alone.
Just let it die.
And instead he's like, no, what do you really think? You know, come on.
Dennis Miller says, Al, I think he goes, oh, look, Skittles.
Skittles, he like reaches and right into the camera.
He reaches into the camera and takes some candy and starts eating candy.
Now, the logical thing for Al Michaels is, well, I guess Skittles are more important than the analysis, but it's a good game. It's
right.
a candy dandy. It's a, you know, I mean, say something, but he didn't do that.
Here's another one.
He was totally shocked.
Here's another one. They're going to all the shots of the people in the crowd holding up signs saying, like, it's Miller time.
Right.
They got this one girl in the stands. Big, gigantic jugs. And she's holding up a sign that says, I love Dennis Miller. And Dennis Miller says, well, there's three of my biggest fans right there. And nothing is greeted with
right.
silence. Oh,
it's no. like terror to say anything, like yeah, they're afraid.
Because he was talking about a girl's big boobs.
You have to have, you know, one of the things that you keep, and first of all, comparing Dennis Miller to Howard Cosell is just not what you should do. You don't have that, but you can create a dynamic in there. If both Al Michaels and Dan Fouts in particular, I think, loosen up a little bit, especially Fouts. I know Al Michaels has got to keep everything together. He's the play-by-play guy. I don't think he's supposed to be funny, but Fouts could help Dennis Miller more.
That's where I don't think it could, because I don't think Dan Fouts is bright enough.
I don't either.
I think Dan Fouts is...
I don't think Dan Fouts is the right guy for the job.
He's just a dumb ex-jock. I do think that Al Michaels is bright enough, certainly bright enough to understand a lot of the jokes that are over my head, but certainly, I mean, when you got a girl in a crowd with big boobs,
right.
And he said, and she's holding up a sign, he says, there's three of my biggest fans. Well, hey, come on, that's funny. Acknowledge that. And you're right about the Skittles.
Right.
That was just a spontaneous moment. You know, and Dennis Miller's wearing the banana yellow jacket with a white world of sports patch on. He goes, hey, Skittles.
You know, I don't think that this telecast is doomed, but if it does fail, it's going to fail because they've forgotten one thing. When you had Howard Cosell on that telecast, and it was at its best, you also had Don Meredith. And what Don Meredith was he was not, you had two guys in there that were kind of out in left field. Two guys that would kind of go speak their minds, and not Dan Fouts is trying to be a serious analyst, and that dynamic doesn't work. I can't think of off my head. I would think of a guy like, say, you know, but he wasn't outspoken, but a rebel kind of like a Jim McMahon type of guy that would come into that booth and be somebody who could, you know, add a little. I don't think McMahon's bright enough to do it either. But who is a guy like an ex-jock that would be...
There's not really that
they're,
many.
They're not out there. Like, Don Meredith was just a total lunatic. And that's why I used to love
like
that.
Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, you know? Terry Bradshaw, exactly.
Terry Bradshaw, maybe Howie Long. You know, Howie Long's a smart guy, could do that.
He's a little serious, too, though.
Keep
I'd like
up
to
with
see,
Dennis Miller.
You know, really... there are not many of them. That's the problem, is to find the ex-jock who can offer football analysis. Rob wrote down.
Matt Elliott.
Matt Elliott.
Perfect. Not Matt Elliott.
Don't think it's going to happen, Rob.
Oh, and listen, I know it's old news, but Sunday, during the Dallas game, which I love watching Dallas lose. Christ, I love watching them lose.
And they're losing more than the game.
I love them. I love everything about it. I love the fact that it's 180 degrees on the field, and that the players are all getting beat up, and that they're losing by 40 points to Philadelphia. Somebody out there has to tape the next game that Madden and Summerall do, and we just have to splice together every time Pat Summerall says, beg your pardon, because there was one series...
Beg your pardon.
One series where Philadelphia had the ball. He said, beg your pardon, on every single
play.
Beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon. He's a New Staley with the ball out to the left. Beg your pardon. Brian Mitchell with the ball.
Is this the last season, or doesn't he have one more after this?
No, this is it.
Oh, this is it?
This is it for him.
Okay. All right.
This is it for pieces of the stomach.
I think he'll make it to the
end. At Summerall. But please, somebody, tape the next Madden Summerall game.
Beg your pardon.
And we just got to put together a montage of every beg your pardon.
Beg your pardon.
All right, listen. Enough about that joke. How was your vacation?
My vacation was wonderful. I had a terrific time. I went to a real nice place in the mountains, a real pricey place, a place that was a little more expensive than I expected. I mean, to the extent where, you know how my golf clubs are my most cherished possession?
Yes.
I got the bill at this place, and my reaction was so severe that I actually left my golf clubs in the lobby, and we drove away, like reviewing the bill. You know, my wife was an accountant, and so I'm telling you, you know, she always looks over the hotel bill, and I'm like, just find something in there, will you please? Find something to tell me that it's incorrect, that they overcharged us by 50%. But it wasn't. It was just one of those things where we did a lot of stuff. They offered a lot of stuff at this place. It's up in the mountains, and they offer the golf, and my wife was great about letting me play as much golf as I wanted. They had a little kids program. The kids got to go and do what they wanted to do. They had a little place for my wife to get all those things that she likes to do, like the facials and stuff like this.
Facial.
And then
like in the I was watching today. That's what your wife was doing.
Not that kind of facial, Danny.
Five guys standing around her. It's raining men.
No, they said they don't want that riffraff up there at this place. That's what they said. That's when I got in trouble because I was going to get a massage, but I it's not like a homophobic thing, but I didn't want to get a massage with a guy. I didn't want that to happen. It creeps me to, I don't relax. If there's like a Broomhilda there, that's fine. Then I'm a little bit more relaxed. But they said that they only do men on men and women on women. And, you know, this is a very dignified dining room, and I'm having this discussion with my wife. And I said, well, what do they think somebody's going to ask for? And I mentioned a sexual act very loudly in this dining room.
A hand job.
Yeah, and that's, we can say that. That's right. I'm so glad you're here.
Manual release.
And they, the old man eating his lettuce at the table next to me didn't like it too much. But I played golf all week long, and the only thing that I can tell you that really happened of any significance was all week my wife had said on the last day, you know, your second to last day, let's just make it no golf, and we'll go off and do stuff. So we did all the dangerous stuff you do at a resort like that. We went and shot guns, you know, in the rain, which is really like a
skeet shooting.
Yeah, and I remember that one time that you and I did it?
Yeah.
And we went up and I was real good at it? Well, that's ancient history, because I'm telling you right now, I suck. And after about the 15th one, where I just fire blindly off into space and I see this thing fly off, this orange, it's bright day glow orange, and I got a bruise on my shoulder because I'm not holding the gun properly. You remember the whole deal, right?
I do, yeah.
Well, somehow, when we did it, it was a different experience because I enjoyed it.
It was a long time ago. It was 10 years. Years ago, longer than that when you and I did it.
Maybe I'm older now, and I just didn't dig it that much. But my wife is kind of like a prodigy. You know, she missed athletics. She goes up and she's like, oh, boom, shh, boom. Shh. Meanwhile, I'm, you know, he said, you're stopping the gun. You want to lead the gun.
You want to lead with the gun. Lead with the gun. And then pull the trigger. Don't stop. You stopped again. And then he keeps saying, you stopped again. And by halfway through this thing, we shot.
There are two things you shoot. You shoot trap, which goes straight out. And that's the easier of the two.
Right.
And then skeet goes sideways. We did both. I didn't hit anything. And as we're going on halfway through this thing, our helper, Barney Fife over here is saying, man, okay, you missed that one. You stopped the gun again. Okay, little lady, why don't you come in and try it again? You know, big grin on his face. Meanwhile, as he like pushes me to the side, and she stands up and, you know, hits 4 out of 5. And it's like, okay, you ready again, sir?
You tempted just to shoot him?
I tell you, if you're out of control, and at one point, what did he say? Oh, at one point, you shoot at the trap, and I miss again, and then you have to... You have to pull the little lever so that the shotgun shell comes out. Yeah, I open the thing up. I just break open the gun. You know, it folds
right
down.
I know what you mean.
And then the thing pops out. The thing, like, catches the guy's nose. And it's hot. You know what
you mean?
Yeah. And that was it for me. Because, I mean, you're supposed to, like, do it like next season. Now, keep the gun low and just do it over your right shoulder, just like this. And I immediately, like, I'm a third shot. I crack open the gun and it grazes his knees. Like, whoa, hey, all right, Rebo man. Thank you very much. And she does real well. So we do that. And that wasn't a problem. I enjoyed it, even though I
missed, and about halfway through I get completely bored and I don't want to do this. But the one thing she wanted to do that I was not looking forward to, I'm not a horse person. I don't like horses, and she wanted to go horseback riding at the end of the day. And I'd seen these things, and it doesn't look like it's any big deal, right? It really looked like everybody was having a real pleasant time. The horses kind of walked gently. You know, they walked gently, and everybody that was on these things was great. And at the end of the day, we do this at the very end of the day. It's our last activity, and we were the only ones. It was me, my wife, and John Wayne, the guide, you know, the expert horseman. And my wife, shocker, has ridden horses before, too, so she knows what she's doing. And she also, you know, she doesn't weigh the incredible, massive amount of weight that I'm going to be putting on the horse. And I swear to God, when I came into there, first of all, you know, we go into the little stable area, and they have the helmets that you have to put on. Like, if they're called hats.
Those fag hats.
They put the hats on.
You
right?
mean like the hats that are like of that crushed velvet?
No, not that nice. These were more like the kind of hats that a kid wears on a bicycle, and they're black.
Oh, like helmets.
Yeah, they're like helmets. They're little plastic helmets. And I put, and I said, I've got a very large head. And the lady's like, the extra large is right up there. So I go to the very top, and I see the big one, and I put it on my head, and it sits like a dime on top of my head, right? And I'm sitting there going, I'm not getting on the goddamn horse if I have to wear this hat. And she goes, oh, no, dear. No, let me show you. It's got an adjustable strap. So she pulls out the strap, and then the thing comes right over and, like, rests on the bridge of my nose as I'm sitting there. So this exercise, I'm already getting a little nervous, but I finally get the hat fitted, and we walk out into this little ring where they have the horses. And I swear to God, the horse that I ended up riding, it was called Trump. And I said, Donald Trump? And his guys are, no. Yeah, you must use this line like 700. No, it's better looking than Donald Trump. Okay. All right, John Wayne. So I swear to God, when I walked towards the horse, the horse's eye grew. The horse was like going, Jesus, please, no. No, God, no. So my wife gets up on the horse without any effort whatsoever, because she has ridden horse. She used to do it as a kid. She rode horses.
You know? I would pay to see a video of you trying to get on a horse.
So I get over, and you know, there are these English saddles. Now, just for, you know, English saddles are these tiny little things. You know, it's like the ladies ride.
But is it got a thing you put your foot in and then
yeah,
you
it's got
pull
the
yourself
stirrup.
Over?
It's got the stirrup, and so yeah, he has the stirrups adjusted. He's got the stirrups adjusted to me. Like up by the horse's eyes. So I get up there, and I put my left foot in, and I kick myself over one try. I get on the horse on one try, but I almost go over on the other side because I lose my balance, and I come back, and that and I'm like, hey, I've accomplished it. This is the only thing I'm worried about is getting on this horse.
You've mounted the horse.
I've mounted the horse, but at this moment, I have to get my feet into these stirrups that are sitting up there. And I don't know what he did, but here's the side of the horse. They should be down hanging below the horse where my feet are hanging.
Right.
And he's got the stirrups up seriously by the horse's ear, and I'm trying to... I'm flailing with my and at this point Trump decides to get a little antsy because he just doesn't like the fact that he's and the guy comes to John Wayne and says just settle down you calm down a little bit. I'm like, well, I'm trying to get
he's talking to you, not the horse, right?
I don't know what he was talking to, but he's like, but I'm trying. He goes, do you want me to adjust those? I'm like, yes. And so he comes over and he has to do this whole big thing where he pulls down the stirrup and he puts it down. Like, he said, now put your foot in and make sure it's the ball of your foot that sits on the stirrup. Make sure that your heels below your toe. So he adjusts this, and I don't want to make him, you know, I don't want to hold us all up. So he says, is that perfect? Well, it's so far from perfect. It's so wrong still.
The fact that you're on a horse to begin with sucks.
Far from perfect. And I didn't think so. I thought, really, when I'm agreeing to this, I thought, man, that there's a chance I might enjoy this. But as soon as my ass touches this saddle, and my balls are completely and totally, like, sent a sundry, you know, sent squishing all over the place. I realize that I'm not going to enjoy this.
I'm Mr. Red.
I am. And Trump has the, you know, he has that eye, you know how a horse's eye, when you see it in a movie like that, when they do the, he has that look that looks like he might be a little
weird. So the guy adjusts the stirrup, and he already is, you know, it's the same. I've dealt with this all day, that I'm the man that doesn't know how to do anything. And he says, how's that? And I'm like, oh, it's perfect. And I'm lying through my teeth because my knees are still touching my chin as I sit on. And I guess that's the way that the Englishmen bounce up and down and stuff. And my wife, meanwhile, is walking around the ring with her horse that's doing perfectly well. But she had a problem. She had more of a problem than I did. So we start to trot. And we start to go out, and we're walking. We're not trotting at this point. And my horse, he says, the one thing you want to do, don't pull too hard on the reins, and don't let them eat. I said, what do you mean don't let them eat? There are no like oats around here. What do you mean? No, sir. Don't let them eat the foliage that's on the side of the riding trail.
I'm sorry, I'm kind of stupid.
So we march out of there. And at this point, we're 5 minutes into this ride, and the two horses, the one that my wife was riding, the one that I'm riding, apparently they have a rivalry that one doesn't like to be in back of the other. Well, they didn't tell me this crap when we were in the riding ring. So Laura's in back of me, and she comes up on Trump with her horse, who I think we will refer to as Psycho Boy, and she comes up next to me. That is the sound that happened as soon as she got close to me. Her horse, the whole deal, up on two legs. She knows how to ride, but she, and then my horse starts to gallop. And gallop towards John Wayne, who's up in front, and he turns around and goes, hey, what's going on back there? You know, what's going on back here is I haven't ridden a horse in a million years, and Trump doesn't like having my stirrups up by his eyes. So we're riding along, and it settles down, but it happens three times where the horses, and I said, this is supposed to be, I've seen everybody riding all week long, this is supposed to be a gentle little ride through the country, but it's like... As they're all going along like this, and then I'm not paying attention, and my horse stops, and my testicles ride up to the front because he comes to a dead stop because he's chewing on a flower that's off to the trail. I said, and the guy turns around and says, I told you, don't let him eat. I said, well, if I pull on the reins, he'll take his head, and it'll get all uptight. And at this point, the horse that my wife is riding tries to do it again, and the guy says, ho, do you want to switch horses? And she says, yeah, this one's very interesting. I'm going to switch horses with you right now. So he gets off his horse. My wife gets off her horse. And that's when my horse decides that it's time to maybe head for the stable. So the guy has my horse by the rein,
right.
He's standing down. And this, after this is when I felt like the real idiot. I would have rather had the horse just break for the stable, and I try to hang on than what happened later. He breaks for the stable. My guy grabs the rein, and the horse goes, yeah, like that. Meanwhile, I'm like, do you think there's an outside chance we could maybe stop this ride? I want to get off, and I want to walk home with my stupid helmet on. I want to walk home the rest of the ride. My wife is trotting on the trainer's horse,
right.
And she's having a great time. She apparently has a love relationship with this horse. Meanwhile, I have to take the rest of the ride like the 9-year-old kids do, with the guy holding my horse by the rein. And I go by this group of guys that I had actually played golf with the day before, and I'm like, hi, how you doing? And I felt like the biggest Nimrod
with the hat on,
because I've got the stupid hat on. I've got sweat pouring down my face. And I go by and it's like, hey, don't let that thing get out of control. One of the guys said something like that. Don't let that thing get out of control. And they went, see you later, Mike. And meanwhile, I'm being led. And I finally say to the guy, I said, do you think there's a chance maybe I could ride my own horse into the stable? He's like, well, yeah, don't let him get away from you. Don't let him get away from ye. I said, sure. He enjoyed my company, because I think I probably was the greatest source of comic relief. Because at one point he said, how you doing now? And I said, well, my balls hurt. And we went back to the stable, and it was fine. But getting off, I was able to get on in one. I was not able to get off in one. And when we got into the little riding ring, I just want to get off this horse. My legs are sore. My testicles are sore. Everything hurts. I don't like the horse. I want to get off Trump once and for all. Never see him again. And as I got off, I lift my leg up, and apparently the gas pocket was within me. I farted. It wasn't loud, but it was right next to John Wayne's face when I did this, and I got down. And it was just a little...
like that when I got down. He's like, whoa. I said, just like the horses, because did you know horses fart?
No, I did.
The horses were farting. So that was my my exciting ride, and went back to the little lounge area that we have, and we picked up the kids from their little day camp thing that they were enjoying there, and my daughter comes over and says, Daddy, Daddy, and I hug my daughter, and the first thing she says to me is, Daddy, you smell like poop. And I said, no, Daddy doesn't smell like poop. And then she runs over to my wife, and she's sitting there, and I go, and I realize for some inexplicable reason, I smell like poop. Now, I haven't had any kind of accident. I mean, I showered that morning. You know, it was a humid day, but I showered that morning. Then I looked down my leg, and I looked down to the base of my pants, and from about mid-calf all the way down is a yellow-brown stain. Now, this is something I didn't know about horses. Everybody that I've talked to about this tells me this is what... Horses apparently have this type of sweat where they... It's this goo that comes out of them. And so what I do is, sitting in the little lounge area where people have been walking by, I reach down and I put my nose down to the pants leg to smell this yellow stain.
You're a classy guy.
And it is pure S smell. It is the worst S smell I've ever smelled in my life. And I am realizing that I'm sitting in this very, very fine place, sitting there trying to enjoy a cocktail, smelling like, seriously, a pile of horse crap.
This is the place where they serve tea like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon,
right? Yes, this is out with all the, you know, all the wall hangings and all these people walking by. And the first thing, you know, my daughter, God love her, I think it was either Catherine or Elizabeth, said, you, Daddy, you smell like poop. And I'm like, no, I don't. And then I'm, yes, I do. And this... like stuff that came out of the horse that was dragging on my leg. So I had to go back, you know, just like I'd had an accident, I had to go back and change my pants. So that was the horseback riding, and that was the most exciting thing that happened. Otherwise, it was a very, very exciting vacation. But I will never, I swear to God, unless I lose like 150 pounds, I will never, ever get on an animal like that. Because my, like, my pubic bone or whatever the hell's down there, you know, it just hurts. It still hurts.
Hold on.
It's been a week.
Hold on a second, please.
Happy horseman.
Oh, I would pay to have a picture of you on that horse.
So you should have, when it started galloping, it would have been weird. Because, I mean, you know, I see the Western movies like Silverado and stuff like that, where all these guys are like, how do they do that? I mean, my horse got up to a half jog, and I almost, you know, it was almost a broken neck city.
Hold on, we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tonight on this program, when we asked you about that, you had told me before that you were in the Viagra test program and decided to go public with it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Me? That's why the boss has sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Hagerstown, Maryland, hello.
Hi, thanks, Larry. This is for Senator Bob Dole.
Go.
Yes. Don and Mike Arner, you're coming out on the erectile...
Okay, I think that was a gag call, so I cut it because they mentioned two local disc jockeys.
What?
Oh, Mr. Son of a Beach.
They're not mad at you. They're mad at the dirt. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I mentioned that we got a Las Vegas-style show in just a couple of weeks.
Really? Where are we going?
Baltimore. You can thank me later. Is that still on, Charlie?
Not quite sure yet.
Oops. All right, well, I'm glad I didn't announce it then. We might have one in Baltimore. Hello, Don and Mike Show. We can hope.
We can hope.
Hello, you're on the air.
Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mobile, Alabama.
Yes, hi there.
Hey, listen, I was just watching the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Yeah.
And they had the Survivor people on there. It was Rick against the last five that were on there. And they were having stupid questions about this, that, and the other, but it was funny to me that they pimped them out just to give them, you know, free, all brand new cars and stuff, except for Rick, which won the money.
I'm so sick of Survivor.
Rich?
Rich. Yeah,
not Rich. Rich, I'm sorry.
I'm so sick of Survivor. We have Colleen coming in either this week or next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bless her heart. We loved her when she was on the show.
I think it might be a bad idea replaying those. You know, CBS is making a big, you know, see it again. The whole magic of that show is that you don't know what's happening.
I'm so sick of all of them.
That's right. I mean,
I really am.
They gave them all brand new, the Pontiac Aztec. 2001 model vehicles.
Well, that's shocker. He was calling from Mobile.
That Survivor people go click, click, click. Come on out. Rich came on in camp.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, O'Donnell.
Aztec.
Mobile, Alabama, Don.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, is it me?
Yes, hi.
Hey, that Mike, the CP Comics, a whore. He was on that other guy's show last week. I won't say his name.
Well, no, and I'm glad you didn't thank you. You know, Lisa gave me a note while Mike, the CP Comic, was on hold. I don't know what happened to him. You know, we've had Mike, the CP Comic, on our show for a long time. Apparently, last week, while we weren't here, he called the disc jockey the king of not letting other disc jockeys talk about him.
Is there no loyalty in the world?
It's gonna be me.
So if we ever hook up with Mike again, that's the first thing we'll do is bust his balls about that. Thank you, my friend.
You know, we've done that before, and it's just, you know, we like a little loyalty.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Up with Mike again.
Please, for the love of Jesus, we can't get in the skybox. Turn your radio down.
I'm sorry.
Whenever anybody calls this radio show,
if you're going to plan on speaking on the air, just have it down. Have it down to a dull roar, you know, and then turn it off as soon as you think you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, Dynamite. I have a question for you guys. We all know who the other disc jockeys are, but we don't even know what you guys look like. How can we find out about that?
Oh, please. What does it matter what we look like?
Right.
Because,
we have tried again and again and again to keep our appearances a secret. And, you know, it's not a pretty reason why. It's a horrible reason why we're both horribly disfigured.
It would ruin it for you.
We're both lepers.
Let me just say this. I'll tell you the truth, and then I'll tell you the lie, okay?
Okay.
Or would you like the lie first? The lie is that we look like Ricky Martin and Enrique Iglesias.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. The truth is I want you to rent two movies. The Elephant Man and Mask.
Oh, boy.
And I don't mean the mask with Jim Carrey, the funny mask.
That's right.
The one with Cher and the guy with the funky head.
Yep.
Okay?
That's right.
Goodbye.
Don's black hair, the Elephant Man. I'm red hair, the mask.
Don and Mike show.
Don, I'd like to thank you for joining all right-thinking Americans and buying an American car. God bless you. The Republican Party loves you.
There you go.
Come on, I've heard that already. Thank you, though.
That's good.
I've heard that about the Republicans.
Uh-huh. That sounds to me, if you heard that, it was pillow talk. It was probably pillow talk about that. The Republicans and the Cadillac.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to talk to the guys.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to come from Wichita. Just wanted to assume we're going to get a Las Vegas-style show since we're getting the number one ratings.
I believe that we were just in your one-horse town just this past year.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
You didn't know that we were out there?
No, I didn't. Yes. I just started listening to the show about a year ago.
We made our once-a-decade appearance in Wichita this past May.
And that would have been, was that in 1999?
Yes, it was.
So they can hope.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Sometime in the next 9 years, we'll be back.
9 years. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello.
Hang in there.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Happy 2009.
Hey, thank you.
Jam.
Hey, I'm so December glad you guys 24. Like Dennis Miller as well. Don, did you hear on the telecast when they were on the sideline looking at Mark Schlereth's elbow and it was all scarred up? And they were talking about the turf, and he said that...
About rug burns.
And he said, I think that's where he's been scoped. And then Dennis Miller said, yeah, Schlereth's been scoped more than a redneck abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, love absolutely. That guy.
Lots of great stuff that just went unnoticed by Al Michaels.
Mark Schlereth, a lot of people should know, fan of this show when he was with the Washington Redskins, and a very funny guy, very bright guy.
We like Mark Schlereth. From Alaska, right?
Yeah, and his nickname Stinky.
And his nickname is Stinky because?
I believe his nickname is Stinky.
Well, now,
is see, it, I get it confused because Matt Elliott's story comes into play.
Is it because he wet his pants?
No, I think that was a Matt Elliott story. I forgot why they called him Stinky.
Maybe it's because he farted in the huddle. I don't know. One of those two guys, there's one guy who had awful flatulence, and there's another guy.
Matt Elliott peed on himself during the cold weather at Michigan.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Darren over in Spokane. Just wanted to talk to Don about his trade for Kurt Warner.
Yes, my genius trade.
It was a stroke.
Very genius.
No one really can argue with that point.
Thank you, sir.
I ended up with the same pick in my fantasy league, number one. And took Kurt Warner, and the rest of the guys thought I was an idiot.
Right. Well,
you're wondering. I don't think it happened that way.
We showed them. Just wait for your genius card to arrive in the mail. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
A fellow genii on the phone.
A genie, football, fantasy football genii.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Just wanted to help you with the stinky question. He's called Stinky because of his love of fish heads, which is an Alaskan dish.
Yep. That's it. I think that's exactly right.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Hi, Don and Mike show.
I love the Don and Mike show. I love you, Don and Mike. But what I hate most about the Don and Mike show is the best of Don and Mike show.
Somebody making a political statement, I guess.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Chuck Nestor here. President of Ford. The Firestone Dilemma.
That's good.
That is good.
Hey.
That's good.
Hey,
that is good.
Your safety is my utmost concern. If you slip over, you will die.
That's good.
That is funny.
That's
also,
good.
Listen. I want to make you an Ocean City super special radio for you.
I want everybody who thinks that we yell at our callers too much to listen
right.
to this. We are embracing this guy.
Funny call all the way. Not one bad part of this.
Go. Excellent. That's good. And, you know, I frankly like the new premise of when a company F's up that the CEO goes on TV and kisses a little ass.
Yeah.
But frankly...
And then they're selling out the tire company. They're distancing themselves from the tire company.
I've seen three of them. I've seen the guy from Ford, the guy who talks funny like that.
That's right.
I've seen the guy from Firestone who's just petrified and just... Brands that are being recalled from United Airlines.
I haven't seen that one.
Where he just comes out, he's on the plane, he says, hi, you know, this is Joe Asswipe. I'm the president of United Airlines. We've had some problems. And he looks right at the camera and he goes,
I'll tell you one thing about United Airlines. I'm reading an article about that. The pilots... New pilots deal, and they say that at the end of the contract, that a 747 captain will make, and I think it was something like $355 an hour. And I said to myself, you know, this is a guy that has what 250 lives, you know, $355 an hour for just when he's flying. It's like, okay,
yeah.
It makes me feel good that they're paying pilots a lot of money. I believe pilots deserve to make a lot of money, you know what I mean? And they were doing this whole thing where, well, this could cause pretty amazing. You know, these pilots now, because they've got a good contract, all the other pilots' unions are going to want the same kind. Well,
right.
Okay.
So let them have it.
I think that's fine.
Give it to them. So the guy gets $1,200 from flying from D.C. to L.A.
Yeah.
That's 4 hours.
Yeah. Gets
I'm going to round it off
gets
to
about $1,000. Yeah, okay. $1,200. You'd probably be right.
$1,200.
Here comes Rob.
Let's say he flies from L.A.
That's $1,247.50.
To New York. Let's say he does that flight. Six times a week. How much would that be, Rob?
It'd be like $7,200, but they're limited to how much time they can stay in the air. And it's
they said it will work out to about $300,000, somewhere $300,000 a year.
Oh, that's too much.
No, I'm serious. That's too much.
No, it's not for a pilot. Not for a 747 pilot.
That's too much. That's too much. A pilot should make $100,000 tops. I'm serious.
And who should be ahead of him on the...
disc jockey. No, a doctor.
Okay.
A doctor. A real doctor. Not like a dermatologist or a gynecologist. I mean a real doctor. A doctor that doesn't have an IST.
Right.
On the end of whatever his specialty is.
I want those guys with the gray hair that fly the really big planes with all the people. That I want them to be... the best.
No,
so I want them
to
get. I want them to get all the money they want.
You know what? I put them on a bonus system. Tell them you can pay them $100,000. You're on time. You pick up an extra 50. You give us a good takeoff. Another 50. No bumpies when we're landing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a nice fresh $100 bill for you.
Yeah, I might want to take that on time thing out of the equation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go Mach 7 coming down from 30,000 feet because I will get a bonus check.
Right.
And go, here we go. As the spits coming out of your mouth with the G-forces going back there like this.
I'm serious about that. Pay them a good wage.
$100,000 is a hell of a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but I'm also saying...
And make it bonus incentive laden.
But this is not all pilots. This is what I was saying. The big money is for the pilots of
right.
the big planes.
For the old guys.
The old guys.
For the guys who have...
The guys with the most experience.
The guys who have the best chance of dying behind the wheel. Piloting is a young man's field.
Once again, another political debate where we agree to disagree. They could die. I'm sorry, sir. We will not be letting you fly our planes anymore because you have gray hair and you will die.
Yes.
No, I like the gray hair one. I like gray hair.
I want experience. I want Maverick. Top Gun. I want him flying my plane.
You want a young, snot-nosed guy flying your 747?
Yeah, listen, can I tell you something?
Don't you like gray hair on a pilot?
Can I tell you something else about flying an airplane for a major airline?
What?
It's no big deal. Can I tell you, please, the computers virtually do the entire job.
Until it hits the fan, right?
And how often is that? And when that happens...
I want the insurance policy.
That's when the pilot, whoever... You know what? Furthermore, do that with cops. Do that with teachers. Give them all the same plan that we have.
Bonuses?
If we do good, we make a bonus. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Cop, how many good things did you do today? You pulled the guy over because his license plates were upside down. You didn't give him a ticket. Here's $20. A doctor.
But I want the gray-haired pilot.
Yes.
The experience. Because I want the gray-haired pilot in case the goose gets sucked into the engine.
And
that wasn't
a goose that got sucked into the engine.
What was it?
They don't know, but it was that they said there's no way there was no way that a bird could get sucked into an engine.
It was a condor.
There's no way that a bird could get sucked into an airplane's engine and make half the plane fall off.
The 747 engine
right.
that came down. I just like them. You know, I like them old.
No, and listen, you pay them. You say
I don't want Maverick though.
On time.
But no experience if something goes wrong.
How do you get experience?
You fly the littler plane.
No!
Until it's time, and then you sit next to the gray-haired guy.
No, here's what you do. You say to these guys, okay, you get them all in a room. Here's what I got. I got a flight New York to Rochester. Very short flight, however, very bad weather. Thunderstorm. Guess what? Triple the cost on this. You get people in safe, you're going to make $3,000 on this flight. And you know, listen, if you crash, you lose the money.
That's fair. Yeah. And everybody loses the money.
It's very simple.
Now I see your point.
Come on.
Everybody wins if you crash.
Come on. Listen.
It's a win-win.
It's like you say, here's what I got going today. You get all the guys together, and you say, here's what I got. I got a New York to L.A. No weather problems at all. 4.5-hour flight. This will go for $750. Got any takers? And you say... All right, I got New York to Chicago, but I got thunderstorms over Wisconsin, and I got ice in Chicago. I'm going to go $1,500 on this. I got any takers?
Man, one day back from vacation, you've already frightened me.
No, you...
Very, very scary.
You raise the stakes. You say to these guys, I will pay you more if the weather is crappy, and if you deliver on time, good takeoff, good landing,
right.
you're going to get more money.
Well, the way you have it structured, perhaps we could have, like, the United Airlines main office in a casino.
Well, who says that you're not already gambling?
You are.
When you get in
you
an airplane.
You know I believe that.
I know you think that.
It is the biggest gamble. It's the super deluxe gamble.
Right.
That's right. I water down that gamble every time I get in an airplane.
Right. You let young, vibrant pilot up there who can still...
Did I ever tell you, I told you that story about when I was getting on a DC-10 one time, one of those big planes, and the pilot walked through, and he had in his briefcase sticking out the side, this dog-eared copy of a book that says, so you want to be a jet pilot? He just did it as a joke. He was old, though. He was old and gray.
Why not take a page from Walmart and retire them and make them greeters?
Yes.
They could stay at the plane and they could just say, welcome to the flight.
So, on your theory, we would have a perfectly skilled guy
who
could fly the plane to China, and he's sitting there going, hey, how you doing today? Welcome. Hop on. Yes, sir. That's a fine vest you got on.
That's what I want is Bob Hope flying my plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob. We're going to be on time, Hope.
Now, listen, I'm telling you. First off, this whole thing about being a pilot, it's overrated. It's like being an astronaut.
Say these seats in case we encounter a rough air.
It is like being an astronaut.
Mm.
How, you know, the Challenger thing happens once every 25 or 30 years.
You obviously didn't pay attention to Space Cowboys. They saved the world, Doc.
See? Those dudes wouldn't be flying my astronauts. They wouldn't be astronauting my spaceship. I'd have Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Today's hottest young stars would be my astronauts.
So you want them young.
Johnny Depp.
The youngest, hottest.
The youngest, hottest pilots.
The kid from Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, God. Hello. The son from Jerry Maguire.
Hello, it's not in Mike's show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
I'm 35, just starting out, first year pilot. $19 an hour.
Well, good. That's good.
But see, I think they ought to pay you, and I don't resent the guys with the big planes getting more money, too. Airline pilots.
More money.
No, they shouldn't.
This guy's jealous of the... That scares me a little bit. I don't know why. Hey, there goes one of those 747 guys. Yeah. I'm going to fly right into his right wing.
$19 an hour. So you fly New York to L.A.? You make $100.
Yeah, well, how about...
Yeah, you know, that's... Listen, $19, not bad for sitting on your... You to fly the airplane.
They won't let this guy fly from New York to L.A. He's got too big a chip on his shoulder.
He'll run out of gas before I got to L.A.
Too small a plane. Do you fly a jet or do you fly props?
It has to be a turboprop.
Oh, all right. Listen, you don't count.
C'est la vie.
I was only talking about guys who fly airplanes without propellers.
You get $20 an hour? And you fly like... What?
Unfortunately, that is true. $20 an hour.
Do you fly for a major airline or like Hehoy Airlines?
It's a regional airline.
The big guys get even the guys that fly the turboprops get a little more money than that.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm talking about is first year probationary salary. It basically doubles.
Oh, that doesn't scare me too much. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. I'm on a first year probationary salary.
And they've all got to
sounds like you're on a work release program.
They've all got to start somewhere.
That's true. Let them dust the crops.
Sales! Come on! Give me a young guy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And pay them based on how the service was. Was it a good takeoff? Was it a good landing? You know, did you maneuver me through the bad weather? Here you go.
Did you talk to me and show me the sights, like the Grand Canyon?
No.
What a great pilot that guy was.
I hate...
Two boys don't stop and smell the roses.
We're mid-sleep right now, but let me wake you up. Instead of useless knowledge. The majestic Grand...
South Carolina.
Jana, like J-A-N-N-A?
One N.
Oh, Jana.
Jana.
Did you vote him most likely to be annoying in high school?
No, I voted him sexiest black guy.
Oh, did you have any kind of sexual relationship with him?
No, I wanted to, but I never did.
Sexiest black guy? Did you vote a sexiest white guy?
No. There were no sexy white guys.
There were no sexy white guys in your class?
No, there were no sexy white guys at Malden High School.
Hmm. Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Well, I've been told recently that I resemble Britney Spears.
Somehow I'm not surprised
really?
That you would resemble a hottie.
Was that an actual category, though, in your high school, sexiest black guy?
No, it was just kind of made up by all the girls who wanted a black
Sure, yeah, all the girls want a black guy.
Have you wanted a black guy?
Yeah, who hasn't? Come on.
Have you had a black guy?
No, I haven't. It's always been a secret fantasy.
You want one? I think Mr. 40's coming in tomorrow.
Yeah, we could arrange that for you.
Is Mr. 40 coming in tomorrow? Has anybody firmed that up with him?
I haven't been able to get in touch with him.
Who's voted? Let me ask you. Who's voted most racist at your high school?
What was that?
Thank you, honey. Goodbye.
He's a little sexy. Here's our class bigot.
Hello. Is this the lady with the massage?
Yes.
Okay. The answer is four.
Four?
Four.
I said at least five.
Four. Charlie, what were the years?
1985. This is going back 15 seasons, you said, right?
Right.
1985.
My husband is on the other line now talking to someone here. Tell him, he's probably listening.
Sorry, I didn't mark each year.
Pay attention, ma'am.
I'm paying attention. I'm
focus.
Sorry.
1993.
85, 93.
Got it.
It's two.
Take your time, Charlie.
I'm looking as fast as I can.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the sound you hear when Charles Broyhill takes control when he is in the bridge.
You gave control. I did not take it, and now I lost track.
Start over again.
He's looking,
don't distract me.
Looking stunning in his baby blue sweater vest today.
Hey, don't Don't diss the sweater vest. I'm wearing a sweater vest today also.
I know. You both are wearing the sweater vest over the T-shirt look
yes.
today.
I like to think it's a young look.
It is a young look.
Because that's what I'm striving for.
You're
I
all about that.
I thought it was
that.
A caddy driving look. That's why.
I would say I'm dressed like the oldest man. Well, no, check that, Rob. That's a little Stiller-like.
Oh, you like it though?
Yeah. But I mean, now Rob said he was violating a fashion rule by wearing that after Labor Day.
You're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. There's no fashion rule about not wearing a Hawaiian shirt after Labor Day.
But he made me laugh out loud when he said that.
You got the answer?
I got the years now.
What are the years?
85, 92, 93, and 99.
There you go, honey.
90. All right.
There you go.
I
okay.
won.
All right, you won.
Well, I get what I want.
So did I. I won, too.
There you go.
Well, come on. I'm ready for it.
Well, come on.
I'm ready.
Come on. Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Who do I resemble?
Yeah. Come on. Lay it on us. Judy Tenuta?
Someone here said Britney Spears' older sister, but...
Britney Spears' older sister.
All right, honey, well, listen. I'm just going to write this down in my daily diary, in my Palm Pilot. You owe me one.
You betcha.
Okay?
All right, I'll be there.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Britney Spears' 40-year older sister.
Hello, Don, Mike.
Hello.
Don,
Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Broyhill's wrong. He went back 16 years, if you include this year.
Well, no, they don't play them on the opening game this year.
Right, but that was the question of the bet. You said how many times did in the last 15 years? You got to include this year as one of the years. So it's only four.
No, I'm sorry. We've got someone with a bigger brain than you.
Yes, Ed?
15 years is different from 15 seasons, but what's 2000 minus 15?
It's the beginning of the 86 season.
No. What's 2000 minus 15?
Hey. Take your fingers out and count backwards from 2015.
And you'll get 2000
minus 15.
You'll get 19.
When you get the 15th season, it's 86.
Hold on. Here's Broyhill.
Oh, my God.
You're right. Gosh.
Is he right?
Yeah, he's right. It would be 15 years.
No, Rob wants to argue with him. I think Rob should argue with him.
I would agree if this is the...
Yeah, but
I'm with Rob on this
15 years. Not 15.
But wait,
right.
Let me ask you a question. If they would have started the game off this year, if they would have started the first game this season, could you have counted that as one of the seasons?
I would have, yes.
Right. Well, then you have to count it.
I know that. She said 15 years, not 15 seasons.
Well, listen, is the answer the same? If you
no,
count
it's not.
No, it's
not.
Because 85, they didn't do it in 86. So it's only
four. Does this mean I don't get a hand job now?
That's correct.
If you can wait till later, I'll give you
your All right, thank you. You always make it right for me. Thank you, Charlie. Right. Thank you for the call.
That's why we're a successful team. Everybody chips in on this show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
It's not even his normal day. It's Tuesday. His normal day is Wednesday. Hey, Rob, you got the day off.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Come along.
And Buzz, I got you penciled in for Thursday.
Thursday, perfect. And I only got off of that job like 2 years ago. I don't have to do it anymore. It's a seniority thing.
But you still like to watch.
Yes, I do. Well, it's because I'm in the office.
And somebody tell Dan Risen I got him penciled in for Friday.
Oh. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
And how about that Matt Stout? Young boy, I mean, for a rookie.
Yeah, that's some nice work. Yeah.
Hello. He knows what he's doing, Mike.
He does.
Yeah, he's done it all.
What can I say? I've been in the business a long time. It's a rider in my contract. I get a nice hand job at the end of every show.
You find that a little sexual activity before the show relaxes and centers you.
Yeah. And after the show. Sometimes before, sometimes after.
Yep. Relieves the tension. Absolutely.
Tonight it'll be after.
And I think it's good. It means everybody's on the team.
During the last stop set.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling, first of all, just about the airplane thing, but first of all, Don, I can't believe if you were given any choice of a car, you picked a Cadillac.
Honey, I did. Deal with that, it.
It's so, so not cool.
These are the ABCs of me. And listen, you got to see the car I got. It's not like one of those old-timey ones.
It's a pretty car. It is a very pretty car.
Okay.
And what's wrong with a Cadillac? And I mean that. I was joking with Don because that's just what I do. But I seriously, at one point in time, I was given some thought to getting one, and they're pretty cool cars.
Go on the web and look at a Cadillac DeVille. That's what I got. That's a hot car.
You know what? That is an old fat man car.
What would be your number one choice for cars? What would be if you were number one,
I would get a Saab.
A Saab. All right. That says to me, uptight, frigid.
You know what? I'm about the least uptight.
Ditchley Calcorn.
Uh-uh.
That just says to me, Saab.
Uh-uh.
Saab equals boring.
No, it is
boring.
Not boring.
That was not the best example I would have given. If you were countering Cadillac with Saab.
See, you're talking about your dream car and you say Saab.
Well. What would be a better dream car? Since yours apparently
okay.
Wagon.
Hyundai?
A Hyundai.
I said, honey, my car is very sexy.
Uh-uh.
My Cadillac is very sexy.
I would doubt it. I would bet a Saab any day over your Cadillac.
Ma'am?
But yes?
Have you been drinking?
No, I have not.
Are you on any kind of medication?
No.
All right, just checking.
I'm shocked that you chose Saab because fat, ugly, whore bitches normally don't like compacts.
First one of the week.
Another friend made.
I'm shocked.
It's a love fest.
So anyway, what can we do for you?
Well, anyway, I was calling actually to say...
Yeah.
Unfazed.
He's okay.
Right.
Yes, I am unfazed.
Right.
You have no idea what I look like.
Oh, I think we have a good idea what you look like.
I'll bet you do.
Uh-huh.
But anyway.
Who is, just for the sake of argument, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I would say I look like a cross between...
Oh, please.
What?
I was just going to say...
You're pleasing before you even say anything.
Because I know you're going to be full of crap.
Hey! So are you. You got the Cadillac, baby.
I'm not lying about it, baby.
Well, I'm not lying either.
Oh, right. So you're going to tell me you're hot?
Yes, I am hot. Mm.
Yeah, really? Hot. Then who's the celebrity?
Okay, I look a lot like Elizabeth Shue.
Please.
I do.
Please.
You know what they say about an old shoe?
I don't know.
I don't know why.
You look nothing like Elizabeth Shue.
I don't know why I said
you
that.
You are so wrong.
I'm so right. You look like Kathy Whiteside from Oldie 100.
I don't even know who that is.
She's hot.
She is a pretty lady.
She's hot. After you look at the picture of the Cadillac, go to oldie100.com and click on the Kathy Whiteside picture. It's like looking in a mirror.
Absolutely.
Why are you picking on me?
Why are you picking on me?
Well, it's true. I was picking on you.
Come on now.
Okay.
You've had like a scotch and soda, haven't you?
No.
You sound loaded.
Well, I'm not.
All right, listen, what can I do for you?
Okay. Now, what I was actually calling about was about your idea about the pilot. I have to agree with it. I like the idea.
Thank you.
But the only hitch I can see is that coming in and coming out, it's the air traffic controllers that are in charge.
Well, you know what? Here we're going to agree. And I would say do the same thing with them. Put them on the same type of salary with a bonus.
Okay.
That's a silly idea, you stupid drunk.
Okay. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Sob bitch.
She was nice.
It was a love in. It was a love fest.
She was all right.
She was unfazed.
She stayed
was
on the line.
She was all right.
She stayed on
the line after all that, and I certainly didn't think that she was a stupid drunk.
We have a remote microphone set up in her home.
Really?
She's calling us from the bathtub.
Oh, let's listen. There she is having a little soak. Armpits. Behind the knees.
Now, down there.
Down there right now.
The mess. Now, you got to take the loofah. Go on, clean it.
She's getting down there.
Clean it. I know, it's dirty.
Here we go.
Clean it out. Nope, not there yet. Not there. You're clean as a whistle.
She's fine now.
Clean as a whistle.
But look at that water.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, on behalf of the hundreds of Redskins fans that Dan Snyder just screwed over with this new seating arrangement at the stadium, I had to give an on-air FU to Snyder. He's messed everybody's seating arrangement up.
How did he do that?
Well, we heard that he had put 4,000 seats in, and we couldn't figure out where he would have fit them until he got to the game and found out that his bright decision was to fill in the aisles with seats. So he's melded four sections into one. Now when you want to get to your seat, you got to step on 25 people's toes to get there.
Oh,
on either side.
Oh, that's interesting.
Brilliant.
We have had aisle seats for the Redskins games since 69, and we got down to this game. We had 25 seats in either direction that we had to squeeze through.
All right.
Oh, God.
Thank you, my friend. I'll mention it to him the next time he comes bounding into the broadcast booth to yell at me about something.
God.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi.
My name is Dina. I'm calling from Baltimore. Actually, I had a question for Dawn. Did you used to DJ in Pittsburgh many,
yes.
many years ago?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I thought so. I've been listening to your voice, and you're one of my childhood memories, I guess.
Oh. Did you ever come to visit me at the radio station?
You mean whenever you locked the door and left?
Oh, no, no, no. You know, obviously, you don't know what I'm talking about. Thank you, though. I mean, that's a true story about how I left that station in Pittsburgh. But
there are a couple thousand women that would know what you were talking about.
When I worked in Pittsburgh, I got laid.
Mm-hmm.
So much.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up a woman every night off the request line.
It was incredible.
Every night.
And you lived to tell about it.
I did. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Roses are red and violets are bluish. If it wasn't for Jesus, hell, we'd all be Jewish. So I said to myself.
It's not the original.
No, it's not.
Vote for Joe Lieberman. Don,
it's not
Don, he's faster than a speeding Hebrew National kosher salami. Mike, he's able to leap tall turrets in a single bound. It's a bird, it's a plane, no? No, it's Lieberman!
It's not the original Sashville guy.
What y'all doing?
It's just the guy that was calling about Joe Lieberman.
How you doing?
No, I'm not the original, but...
It was a fantastic sketch, though.
Oh, all right. But before I let you go, I was out in Southern California a couple of weeks ago. That old washed-up DJ is kind of like your Dick Clark kind of fellow, except it wasn't Dick that...
I want to tell you.
Rick somebody.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I might have entertained that, but there was just too much...
Hey, listen, I'm here all week.
Too much outside stuff happening.
Thanks a lot.
I think he wanted to talk about Rick D's, which I wouldn't have minded, but there's just too much outside stuff.
That's a very busy call.
Oh, you know, I got a call.
D's Nuts call.
Was it a D's Nuts?
Yeah, that guy, Rick.
Well,
yeah, good.
Oh, see, that was good judgment. You had that.
Good.
That was instinctual dropping that call.
Good, thank you. Robbie, thank you very much. Hello, last call here. Don and Mike, hi.
Hey, Don, I'm Mike, the guy in Police Academy that you were trying to think of, his name is Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow, also a good stand-up comedian.
And he was the brother of Kellen Winslow of the San Diego Chargers.
All right, thank you. Rob, file that away.
Now, Brains, let me tell you something. The look you just gave me was just like, what?
I knew it was Michael Winslow, but you didn't want to know his name. You want to know the name of the 7-Up guy. You just said he's like that guy.
Oh, so you knew it was Michael Winslow.
Yeah.
You're very frustrated
but
that he had that information.
Did you know that guy was related to Kellen Winslow?
Sports, and I don't have room for that.
Do you know what team Kellen Winslow played for?
A West Coast team, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That was a guess.
Okay, now that you know it's West Coast.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
That's right.
Way to go, Brains.
Did that guy just say it, though? Because for some reason,
he did.
Right in front of
he already said it.
Yeah, but once again, I didn't know. I just
So you knew it, and you just didn't volunteer because you didn't think you wanted to hear it.
I already lost it. It was just swimming around in, like, my disposal.
But it still frustrated you that he called with it.
Yes.
It
all right. Thank you.
No prize involved.
Goodbye. Whatever. Well, Buzz, there is a prize at the end of the day.
Well, that's right. I forgot.
Whoever gets to give me the hand job at the end of today's show.
That's right.
Now, listen, Robbie, you have your Jerry Lewis tapes.
Yes.
You know, God bless him, Rob Speedway.
Rob.
He tapes Jerry's telethon every single year. I mean, doesn't do it for us. He just does it because he's a nut.
You know the picnics he misses every year?
Rob.
And it was a bad telethon this year.
He tapes the telethon, and then he gives us... the lowlights.
There's actually one highlight that's pretty funny from this year, and I don't know if any of you saw it on Monday afternoon when Jiminy Glick came out and interviewed Jerry Lewis and kept calling him Sherry Lewis. And I really don't think they told Jerry that's what was going to happen.
Oh, really?
And Jerry was tired and not up to the challenge, and it was just Martin Short going for like 8 minutes.
Oh, really?
Funny.
What I have here on Rob's transcript of the telethon is Ed announcing, Larry King getting no applause.
Mm. Right, he has to goose the crowd to get some applause.
USC marching band plays Tusk. Jerry comes out in Hank Kingsley-ish golf cart.
You had to see this golf cart. It had the front hood of a Rolls Royce on it. And you know the caricature of Jerry Lewis that
right.
they've used for a billion years? It's painted all over this golf cart. And it's Jerry on a golf cart surrounded by the USC marching band.
Then we have Jerry yelling at his band leader.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jerry intros Norm Crosby.
Norm Crosby.
Some Ed McMahon moments. He interviews Larry King. Jerry sings horribly out of breath.
Yes, and we can't even talk. He's out of breath.
Intro hour two, Ed sounds sleepy. No microphone for Jerry. Jerry makes his first Nazi joke of the night.
Oh, God.
Jerry introduces Tony Danza. Jerry makes more Nazi jokes.
Oh, God.
Jerry interviews Third Eye Blind.
That's
I didn't
funny
like,
right
be like Tony Danza's performance or Third Eye Blind's performance. I just like the introductions.
Sure.
I think those are the funniest.
Jerry sings. Jerry yells. He gets out of breath. Jerry argues with band leader again. Jerry tells another Nazi joke. Jerry argues with floor director. Final timpani. Broken tote board. We made it speech. Jerry sings and cries. So that's what we...
Wow, there's a lot of good Jerry.
That's what we have. Let's do a break. And Robbie, load that tape up.
You got it.
And we will get right to our annual dissecting of Jerry after...
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
Reminding you to pull out Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, let's get to the Jerry stuff.
Jerry.
Jerry. Robbie tapes the entire telethon every year. And saves us the trouble of actually having to listen to this crap.
We get the highlights and the lowlights.
And you know what? I just want to register one complaint. If someone from MDA could please... I'm sorry, Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Yeah.
Jerry again took the evening off, and they did filler for the 2 hours over the evening that was just like clips of Telethon's past, which was great. Same clips they ran last year in the overnight. Really, take some time. Produce some new stuff for us.
Lazy, lazy, lazy.
It is lazy.
Like anybody notices besides you. Real one or real two?
It is unreal. One.
Reel number one. Here we go, Jerry.
Welcome. We are here live in Hollywood, California. This is the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Association Telethon 2000, starring Jerry Lewis. In the next 21 hours, we will bring you the best of comedy and music.
You think he's bombed already?
Yeah, he's probably already been there all afternoon getting ready for it. All right. Time to go pay the piper.
I want to tell you something. I do this.
Let's go.
Completely
loses his train of thought.
Like he's going to say something real deep?
Yep.
I'll tell you why I do this every year.
Where's Jerry?
Let's go.
What time do we go on?
Come on now. Give me my tux.
Rock World, Third Eye Blind. To the country world of Pam Tillis. To the comedy world of Shecky Green.
Hey, was Carrot Top on?
Not this year.
No Carrot Top.
Nope.
Do you know, at this point in time, don't you believe that Ed is probably... It is a true job to Ed. You know, he can't quit because it kind of made him what he is. You know, it was back when, like Hank Kingsley, you know? Yeah, but now it's just like, he doesn't need it anymore. Doesn't need to do... Oh, God. And it sounds it in his voice. Third Eye Blind. Oh, it sounds like Louis Anderson.
I'll tell you why I do this.
Why, Ed?
Where's Jerry's golf cart? Let's go to the soundstage.
Norm Crosby, the magic of show business. Jerry will take you there and more. You'll be entertained by singers, dancers, magicians, and comedians. All of them giving their time and talent on behalf of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Joining Jerry as his co-host here on our stage, Jan Carl.
Who?
Who?
Norm Crosby.
Jan Carl.
And Dia Garrett.
Who?
And me, I'm Ed McMahon.
McMahon?
Did he screw up his own name?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And me, Larry King. Thank you very much. Not to be overwhelmed.
Okay.
Explain this, Rob. What happened
there? What happened? Ed McMahon does his thing, then Larry King does his?
It was like a taped piece, and then they had, like, you know, a montage of photos. Then they went to the stage, and it was Larry just lit by one spotlight.
So Larry, that's Larry we hear literally sucking the air out of the room.
And he's on stage, and they go to him, and the crowd, there's nothing. I want to roll it back. Listen to it again. It's, and me, I'm Larry King, and the pause and nothing.
And what does he say then?
Well, he intros Jerry.
All right, this is Larry King once again cementing his reputation as a journalist.
Here we go.
And me, Larry King. Thank you very much. Got to be overwhelmed.
Thank you very much. Those are being overwhelmed. And me, I'm Larry King. I am just ready for breakfast. I ate a big breakfast, and I noticed you're not applauding for me.
What does he say? Something about...
You don't have to be overwhelmed.
You don't have to be overwhelmed. I didn't get any applause, Sean. Sean, they didn't applaud for me. They applaud. Ed brings the house down. Me, I just don't get any applause.
And me, I'm Ed McMahon. Larry King.
How awkward.
Thank you very much. Got to be overwhelmed. Last Friday night, Jerry appeared on my show for the full hour, and right before the show, he asked me if I would be kind enough to come over here to kick this off tonight. Well,
I would be kind enough.
Okay, I have a question. Why are they screwing Ed?
He was kind enough to ask me to do this, not...
There you go.
I was kind enough...
To come over and do it.
Rewind
but
that.
Why do we have Larry? Why is Larry horning into this? I don't understand.
Because Larry put Jerry on TV on Friday night.
That's my theory. This was the trade-off to get the hour, because Jerry was just the one guest, one hour, and he got a whole hour. And I think he said...
And Larry not getting enough exposure for Larry.
Right.
Right.
And not just the introduction, but he'll talk to Jerry for about 2 minutes. In this
oh, here we go. Segment. Okay.
Last Friday night, Jerry appeared on my show for the full hour, and right before the show, he asked me if I would be kind enough to come over here to kick this off tonight.
If I would be kind enough.
Yeah.
He asked me if I would be kind enough to come and help these crippled children.
And because I'm so kind, it's me, Lay King. I'm here right after breakfast.
Well, when Jerry Lewis asks you to do something, you do it. Not only because he asked you, but also because he's a very special human being.
Yeah.
He's a national treasure.
Doc.
I think he's done more for the joy of the laughter of
childhood. Play that back because you hear the real Larry open the mouth and the gob of spit on the lips.
You got that.
He's done more.
Rational treasure. I think he's done more.
Hear it again. Because this is why we should have started this earlier in the show. We've been 10 minutes. We haven't even heard Jerry yet.
I know.
Also because he's a very special human being. He's a national treasure. I think he's done more for the joy of the laughter of time.
He's done more
than ever lived. And so...
Yeah, the magnetic personality of Lay King.
To be asked to do this was a thrill for me. They've been doing this for a long time.
I only told them I'd do it. Here's the deal. I'll put you on for the full hour.
You give me the gig.
You take it away from McMahon.
I don't want it doing it anymore. I want to do it because I'm Lay King. Tell Ed he can go out and get us breakfast.
A lot of money. They have helped an awful lot of people. They continue to help a lot more. You're in for a great 24 hours. So it is my humble privilege to present the national chairman in his 50th year of the Muscular Dystrophy Association, Jerry Lewis.
Now, Rob has it written down. The USC marching band comes out.
Right.
They play Tusk. And then Jerry drives out in his golf cart.
Okay. Let's listen, shall we?
What a frick. Can we fast forward past the band?
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard Tusk a million times.
I want to come out with the band, and I want to come out and do the thing.
Before you hit play this, I want you to hear, again, it's more Tusk, but also it's Jerry coming out of the golf cart with a siren. So it sounds pretty good.
Siren from his golf cart?
I want to make a big entrance. Here I go. Give me a siren so that the band doesn't make all the noise.
Jesus.
You notice no applause either.
What a pompous ass.
now you hear the applause.
Running the siren himself.
Yeah, he's got an instant replay like you do.
Oh, he's got the button.
So he's just sitting there in the golf cart.
Yeah, here he is.
Citizens, greet your king.
Conquering hero.
Jesus.
We could have a Jerry Lewis telethon to get rid of Jerry Lewis.
Now what's the band doing, Rob?
They're all running up and playing their trumpets at Jerry and screaming at him. Hey, and he makes faces. Hey, I decided something this year, and Jerry is as big as a house now.
Mm-hmm.
What was funny when you're 35 and you weigh 120 of just standing around and jumping and making faces is funny, but when you're 75 and you're getting approached to like 280, it's sad. And it's a little frightening. Like, he might not be right. His jaw's hanging open and he's making the goofy faces, but it's just not right anymore.
Right. All right, so now the band is leaving.
Yeah, band is gone.
Here we go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is.
Yay! King Prick. Now that we have stirred your spirit with this excitement and the loud
now,
band.
Now, I got to stop it right there. Now that we have stirred with this excitement of me coming into your living room.
Coming out of my golf cart with a siren.
That we have
exciting.
Oh, God.
Show me the toes!
I'm so incredibly exciting.
And the loud band. We are thrilled to welcome you to Telethon 2000. We welcome our friends in Canada, and we hope that if you will call in your pledge using the Canadian phone numbers on your screen. Thanks, Canada, for helping my kids. I would like to introduce a great group of people who are going to spend the next 21 and a half hours with us. People that have been there all through the time that we started and tried to get in place. And to get up.
This is boring. Let's go to him yelling at his band leader.
Okay, where is that?
555.
He's already out of breath, though, I noticed it.
Well, he had to drive his golf cart in.
Stirring your emotions with my arrival.
This is when he's bringing out Jan Carl, and he indicates he wants the band to stop.
Who is Jan Carl?
She's some blonde cunny. I don't know. She's been on the telephone for like 3 years, and I don't know what her past credits
are. Is she Entertainment Tonight or something?
She might be, but she doesn't seem to be entertaining enough to be that. Now,
she's a lady that has a great deal of talent.
So he gets mad at the band leader.
Yeah,
here we go.
You know how long I'm holding my hand up here? Do you have a monitor? I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, real man.
New you
yeah.
in the team, and it's very difficult.
Hold on, what was that?
He says, I think there's a new Jew on the team. And I want you to know, this is not like 18 hours into the telethon.
Right.
This is 7 minutes into the telethon.
So he's already...
Are you aware?
I'm holding my hand. Is there a monitor there?
Right.
I would appreciate it.
A new Jew on the team.
Wow, nice, Jerry.
You know how long I'm holding my hand up here? Do you have a monitor? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. A new Jew in the team, and it's very difficult. Ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful and sensual Norm Crosby.
Sensual? What the hell is that?
Is he a Jew?
Jerry?
Yeah.
I think so, yes. Yes, I believe...
But that's the only way you could get away with that joke,
yes,
right?
Yes,
right.
Yes, I believe that Jerry is Jewish.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I don't see, even if he's a Jew, what's funny about that?
There's nothing funny about it. He's angry.
He's a new Jew on the team.
Yeah, he means nothing. He's angry.
Nothing funny about that.
That's, I think, a reflex that he and Mel Brooks does the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're failing, you just invoke your faith.
Yes.
And it's right. Something to do.
I think that's it.
Here, Norm Crosby. Let's go to Jerry's first Nazi joke.
Number?
1516.
Jerry Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. And it's nice to know 7 minutes in, he's already angry. All right, I am God.
Do you have a monitor?
I'd appreciate it.
I'd appreciate it.
Wow.
He's a new Jew on the team. And you know, he gets the smattering of laughter along with a little of that
nervous home.
Oh,
uncomfortable.
What, you say?
What is his problem, hey, bud? What's your problem?
Go ahead.
You got 1515. You ready to go? What is this, Rob? This is intro hour two of the totally into the second hour now.
Yeah, this is coming back into the second hour. I think you'll note that Ed sounds a little sleepy and garbled in his introduction, and Jerry's already out of control, so he's yelling at his floor manager, who looks to be a nice lady, maybe about 40, but she looks very frightened.
Okay, here we go.
We're coming to you live from Hollywood, California. This is the Jerry Lewis MDA Telethon. And here to bring you Tony Danza, Pat Cooper, Julie Hill, Jack Jones, and much, much more.
What a lineup.
Usually you have to go on a cruise ship to get that lineup.
Jerry Lewis!
Then what's happening here?
No microphone for Jerry.
That's Eva Braun, who worked for us for many years. She was with the SS some years ago. Name is Debbie Williams, but her real name is Frances Kolfenstein.
Okay, you know, the bitter...
Rewind this. We get some of this every year.
I know.
Something that we just... don't get.
It's very, it seems to be at its core very evil.
So he comes out and they don't have a microphone.
Right.
And he's angry.
Ed gives him the mic and then he calls the stage manager Ava Braun.
Hitler's girlfriend.
He comes out in a golf cart again.
Oh, really?
And there's no microphone for him. And again, not like 18 hours into the show, so minute 61. That's
it. And he could, you know, while that's all going on, saying, hey, I need a microphone, but he'd rather wait and embarrass the floor manager.
Call her Hitler's girlfriend.
Stand there, and also what's good is Ed, also in total fear, says, here, take mine.
Take mine, Jerry.
For Christ's sake, take it.
I live between Jerry's pillows.
That's Eva Braun, who worked for us for many years. She was with the SS some years ago.
Her
name is Debbie Williams, but her real name is Frances Kolfenstein. Is das nicht ihr größten Platz? Die beste German?
Oh ja, natürlich.
Lone Machadam ist das der Freuden?
Ever ja, ever ja.
That's wonderful. Have you ever been on television?
No.
How is it?
Very good. Very good.
What's he doing?
He's just interviewing
someone. I like Ed's laughter in the background, too. I like Ed just laughing when there's really no reason to laugh.
You know, just rewind that whole thing. I just want to hear it one more time.
Because it really is very nonsensical rambling. And
try to digest this, because you hear the woman come on stage and say, I've got it. Then Ed says, I'll give you mine. And then he says, Ava Braun.
Yeah, very odd.
You know,
very strange.
I understand. You're pissed off at someone because your microphone's not there. Why do you go right to Ava Braun?
Because
you pull out the big gun.
He's angry.
If you want the visual, he gets out of the golf cart, sort of stands around, then walks up into the audience, and there's an old man in the audience that is German, and that's the one who he's talking to.
Okay.
I still don't get it.
Well, I don't get it either, but I've seen it, so I'm perhaps painting.
Okay, sure. Let's hear it one more time.
I like this silence.
That's Eva Braun, who worked for us for many years. She was with the SS some years ago.
And I got people applauding.
Yeah,
all right. Eva Braun,
Eva.
Who worked for us for the SS.
Was he making a joke, dear?
Anyone from Berlin in the audience?
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Jerry.
That's Eva Braun, who worked for us for many years. She was with the SS some years ago. Name is Debbie Williams, but her real name is Frances Kolfenstein.
Okay, I don't get it.
Bitter, angry Jerry.
Come on, time out.
Wow.
We're only an hour or two of the telethon. And Rob, you said there was no good stuff this year.
I said it's not as good.
Oh, come on, it's better.
And they're not even tired yet.
It gets better every week. We'll be, every year. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think we ought to have a few words from the late Ed Sullivan.
Well, I did want to deliver a few words. F*** you. You bald-headed bastard. You made your last appearance on CBS TV. You
see that right there.
They faced those demons before, Don and Mike.
That was the tape of Ed Sullivan really saying F you. Fantastic. I don't know where we got that. Somebody sent that to us. We were on vacation. And we thank them for that. Now we have some phone calls standing by, including Mike the CP Comic. Okay. Really tried to explain to us why he went on the other show. But Rob says we should hear one more snippet of Jerry. You know, there's so much great stuff. We're going to have to continue this into tomorrow's show.
Absolutely. Jerry keeps on giving.
This is just he had to walk from his post, which was on one side of the stage, to center stage. My guess, like maybe 50 yards to in front of the band, and he has to introduce this song. Listen to how out of breath he gets.
All right, Jerry Lewis.
Am I on? Oh, for God's sakes, I'm on television. Really? I think that I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, later on in the program, we'll be presenting a wonderful performer, Frank Sinatra Jr. And I have to make mention of the fact that for over the years that Frank and I were friends, he let me use some of his personal arrangements for the concerts that I was doing around the country. Well, you're going to know the music because it was Frank at his best. And I'm so thrilled that I'm able to do, it takes a lot of guts to sing with a Sinatra arrangement, but, you know, it's my show, who's not going to surround with me?
Now, what was that? Did you have to
Did he use a bad
around?
Word? Yeah, I had to bleep it, and I checked with standards and practices. What he used was the C word for the male anatomy, who's going to see with me?
C-O-C.
Woo, yeah, that. He said, who's going to see around with me? Once
really?
Again, that's, you know, 9:30. On a Sunday night, and that's the word he chooses to use.
It's like 2 hours into the telephone. Who's going to cock a doodle doo around with me?
Exactly.
Amazing Jerry.
Wow. Yeah, he's a cranky, angry, fat old man now.
And you're right, he's very out of breath. Very out of breath.
And that comes from a gentleman who has revered Jerry.
Rewind that a lot. I just want to hear that again about COCing around with him.
Bro, the music, because it was Frank at his best. And I'm so thrilled that I'm able to do, it takes a lot of guts to sing with a Sinatra arrangement, but, you know, it's my show, who's not going to surround with me? Go ahead, Lee, do that.
Do that. This is Jerry singing Under My Skin. Who's going to see around with me?
Under my skin.
Now, what is the reaction from the crowd when he says, see around with them?
Well, I mean, you can hear the immediate after. They're just, okay.
All right, Jerry.
Battering of ha-has.
Jerry.
At least he's not doing the Nazi stuff anymore.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. This is Joan.
Oh, hi, Joan.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. I just had a theory. You guys were trying to figure out why he was calling the floor manager a member of the SS.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think we all understand. He's trying to be funny, saying what you did to me is so bad, it's like persecuting the Jews.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not funny. It's not funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
Because what he's doing is what Jerry, and I said this to Don during the break, what he's doing, it seems to me, is he's equating someone not handing him his microphone with the Holocaust.
To being the girlfriend.
And that's pretty out of whack, just like Jerry.
Of Adolf Hitler.
It is. It's horrible.
It is. He's nuts.
Well, I turned my radio off because I called, and so I didn't hear you explain that thought. And so that's all I was calling
about.
Well,
I didn't do it until just then, but I mean, it's just...
I mean, we understood the convoluted reasoning. It's just
weird to hear him do it, and it's like...
It's the second hour of the telethon.
Very dark, dismal.
You know, he's on TV to try to raise money for crippled kids. And he's brought up a Jew thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought up Hitler's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He's spoken in this mock German tone after bringing up Hitler's girlfriend, and he's used the C word for the male anatomy all in the first 2 hours.
It's odd. He's a little angry. Rob, would you say, and you watch it every year, you tape it, he's a little angrier this year than he has been in years past?
He's never been this angry.
Really?
Never been this angry, not out of the chute.
Okay.
I mean, he'll ultimately get to this point every year. Although last year he was not that angry because, as you recall, he was coming off viral meningitis. I think
right,
he was just glad to be there.
He was just tired.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Listen, the Don and Mike, I got it all topped. When he was on Larry King on Friday night, and I will be very careful about what I say here. He was talking about how Dean Martin and him broke up and all this, and about how before they broke up that Dean was sucking Hein tea.
Oh, I heard him say that.
He said
I heard him say, yeah, he said sucking Hein tea.
Right.
And he said the word that we can't say on the radio.
That's
right.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what was that expression? What did he mean about Dean? Was he saying that?
He said that Larry King was asking him about the breakup, and he was saying, well, that there were various factions, and my guys were saying, you don't need Dean, and Dean was saying, you don't need Jerry. He said, but let me tell you something, Larry. For many years, Dean was sucking high tea.
Oh, man. So he's saying that Dean basically just sucked.
Right.
Right.
And then he went right into
it. So low.
Did you hear what he was telling Larry about how TV's not TV, it's television?
That's right. He would never say the word. He was insulted. How people could say TV? Yeah, this is television. This is our industry, Larry.
And you notice, it should be noted that he never said that about Dean Martin while Dean Martin was alive.
Yeah.
Even right. When he was all feebed out, he never did that.
All right, now joining us is Mike the CP Comic. Now, this I don't understand. This is a guy who's opened for us at our Vegas-style shows. We tried to give him a hand whenever we can. We're out of town last week. The guy called us a couple of months ago, said he was going to go on Jerry's telethon. Last week, we're not here. He calls Mr. Big Shot in New York, the guy we're not allowed to talk about. Mike.
Hey,
listen, just because you have CP doesn't mean I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not pissed at you.
That's perfectly fine, Don. I understand.
Well, like, you've not been treated nice enough by this show?
No, I'll be totally honest with you. I've been on his show years ago before I came on your show.
Okay, understand that. But once you left his show to be on our show, why would you go back to be on his show?
Because honestly, Don, I see two shows in the same time slot as direct competition. I would never do something of the same time slot.
All right, okay,
but listen, you know, the thing that this guy has going for him is that he has CP.
No.
Makes me sound like a dick to yell at a guy who's got CP. But no, I'm telling you, I think you're a bright enough guy to know that there's competition between this show and that show.
We like the people that aren't on our show to be on our show. You understand that. I mean, you've listened to the show, Mike, right? You know how we feel about that, because we've had this discussion with Dennis Murphy. We've had this discussion with lots of other people, you know, that are on this show. And we like to have people that are on this show stay exclusive to us. I hope you understand that.
Okay, and I really apologize. Again, it wasn't a relationship that just started new.
Right.
It was a relationship I had had for...
Okay, well, then you should never have called us in the first place. Because it's like you're cheating on us with him. Or you're cheating on him with us.
Whenever that happens, we feel like a lover scorned, Mike.
See, because anybody who's heard you on our show and heard the work that we've put in with you to nurture you to be a part of our show over the last couple of years, they turned on his show last week, and all of a sudden, hey, here's the CP comic. He's going to be on Jerry Lewis. And Christ, we put in the work with you. We put you on the show. We let you open up for us when you weren't doing dick. But when you're going to be on the biggest stage in the world, that's when you turn your back on us and you call the other guy.
That is not true, Don.
How is that not true?
Because you guys knew about it first when I stopped there and told you, and then you told me to call in, and I did not realize till later that you were on break last week.
Oh, but you just had to get some recognition from a disc jockey that you're going to be doing this. So even though we were on break, you couldn't just wait a week, even though you'd announced this on our show 3 or 4 months ago.
I don't believe I did announce it. I told you off air.
But you didn't get on the Jerry Lewis telethon at all, did you?
No, sir.
Did you get screwed by Jerry?
Not Jerry himself. The guy who booked me called me about 3 weeks before mid-July and just said, look, Mike, from above him, they did not have time, and they squeezed me out.
Yeah.
And mainly because I did not have MD, I have CP.
And I think that when you did tell me about this, it wasn't a conversation, in a private conversation, out in the office, but then later was discussed on the air with you. Didn't you guys all know that he was going to be on the Jerry Lewis telephone?
Don, you had mentioned it, but from the time I had stopped and seen you and told you personally, I did not call in after that.
Well, let me just ask you this, and I just get it off my chest, I'll let it go. And I don't care if I look like an a-hole because I'm yelling at a guy with CP. Who's been more loyal to you? Who's brought you out to appearances, put you on stage, tried to help your career? You know, Jesus Christ, I gave you a phone number to Joe Trione, to the guy with Comic, what's that stupid HBO show?
Comic Relief.
Comic Relief.
No,
you ever met with that other guy? Has that other guy ever done anything for you besides put you on his show?
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, I hope from this point forward we can kind of be your exclusive guys.
Okay, and I heard callers and I wanted to call and just like, you know, the truth and apologize.
Well, that's fine, and we accept the apology, but I'll tell you this, you know, when you hear callers like that, that gives you an understanding of what we're dealing with. When we get a call saying, you know, a guy that's been a regular on our show, and you are a regular on this show, when we hear that he's been, that's when it puts us in kind of a weird position. You understand that, I hope.
Yeah,
and especially when you're not like just some regular idiot caller. You're a guy who, you know, we brought out to our Vegas shows. We want to help you. We put you up on stage. We want our audience to embrace you. Christ, I don't, you know, listen, I don't talk to people who listen to the show out in the office every day. I really don't. But I spend time with you. I thought we had a relationship.
And, okay, what if I commit right now?
Suicide?
No.
Commit what? Adultery?
That will never happen again.
Then you are ours forever.
Then consider it done.
We are family.
Okay?
Just like the song, we are family.
Thank you.
And I apologize.
All is right with the world. On a lighter note, what was going to be your opening line on the telephone if you got on the telephone?
Mike, I really don't know. I'm in like a whirlwind now, but...
Oh, no, you're upset you don't want to do any performing.
No, I want to let you guys know I did make the next Survivor in Australia.
Really?
They're going to drop me off with a coloring book. If I stay within the line for 2 weeks, I get $1 million.
All right, there he goes.
All right.
I like the stick.
Don,
just listen, Mike.
Don, just, thank you. And
you're welcome. You're a good friend. Just... be a loyal friend.
I will.
Okay?
I'm sorry.
All right. Apology accepted.
You the man. You're still part of the family.
Thanks.
See you at the next Vegas show.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Excellent. Doesn't matter what chips you're dealt. When that happens, you know, we like the people that are regulars on the show to, you know, stay exclusive on this show.
Right.
It's what makes the relationships, you know, it's and everybody's like that in this business. That's just the way it works.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, guys. I wanted to clarify something about the Jerry Lewis mystery of communication.
Yes.
When he used the C word that's a part of the male anatomy, it actually is a Yiddish word. It's a verb, and it means the equivalent of to move your bowels.
Okay. Whatever.
I love deciphering Jerry.
I've never heard it before. So, in essence, what you were saying is he was saying, hey, they're going to come out and take a crap on me.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you.
That's Jerry.
You know, so much of that Yiddish speak. You know what I mean? On one hand, you know, where's this guy coming from? He's talking about, he's obviously using Yiddish vocab that would only be understood by fellow Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the other hand, he's making jokes about Eva Braun.
Well, it's convoluted. That's the word that describes it
sure
best.
Sure is.
And what it is really is, I think when he's talking to people that work around him, you know, it's really just, it's the worst insult he can give them. You know, what you've done to me is worse than this.
To me.
It's pretty weird.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, listen, we got to go to Buzz. I just realized we are just about out of show. We will continue the segment tomorrow. Complicated, thy name is Jerry.
Yes.
That's what we're calling this segment. Tomorrow you will hear Tony introducing Tony Danza badly. You will hear Jerry tell more Nazi jokes.
There goes Jerry again.
The stage manager. Jerry with an awkward moment and third eye blind. Jerry arguing with the band leader.
Again.
Jerry telling another Nazi joke. Jerry arguing with the floor director.
Come on.
And then the final end when he sings a dumb song.
There you go.
So we'll get to all of that tomorrow. Christ, it's jam-packed.
Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Buzz?
Yes.
It's time for the news and the comments.
Uh-huh.
What is your lead story tonight?
Tonight, George W. recovers from open mic night.
Right, good man.
In a world where owning a radio
is
strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
Mumble. He made it up.
No, when I said good man, I didn't mean you, I meant Bush.
I know.
Bush.
Yeah. No, I was making a joke because he waits for that moment.
I know.
He was mad at himself.
Sorry, Buzz the CP Newsman. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot? What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
America's most cunning linguist, Don and Mike.
And let's get right to Guy J. Birdley. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. George W. Bush will be a lot more careful around microphones from now on. Yesterday, he got out and caught on a live mic calling a New York Times reporter a major league a-hole. To which running mate Dick Cheney replied, "Oh, yeah, he is, big time."
Well, what's Cheney supposed to say?
Bush recently promised to bring honor and dignity to the White House. Quote, "So help me God." But he's
right. Al Gore's never called anybody an a-hole
Never in his life. Show me the proof.
Bush also promised to bring plain speaking honesty to the White House, and he has skipped several opportunities to apologize for what he said.
And I say to him, don't apologize.
He says he's sorry.
And buy a Cadillac.
And put a W bumper sticker right on it.
Bush says he's sorry the remark was made public.
You know, that's a good move.
When you step on it
like that, you just say, hey, I still think that. That's what I think of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody out there, some right-thinking Republican, sends me a window sticker, I put the window sticker in my car.
You got it?
Yeah. I don't like a bumper sticker. Traditional bumper sticker, no matter what the message, equals trashy, white trash.
Devalues the car.
Yeah. But give me a nice window sticker.
I get one. From the way the Republican Party has responded to you, you should probably have one in your mailbox tomorrow.
No, listen, Mr. Forty's on the phone with bad news. Mr. Forty?
Bad news.
Yeah.
Well, you can't come in tomorrow?
Nah.
Have you had any...
I want to come on a good day. Tell me when to come. What's a good day to come?
Mr. Forty, tomorrow's a good day to come in.
All right. How about Thursday?
Thursday would also be a good day.
I'll come Thursday.
All right, Mr. Forty. Hey,
congratulations on the caddy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Caddy. Hey, listen, I'll give you a ride then, Mr. Forty.
What color is it?
Burgundy.
Nice burgundy color.
Nice, neutral, calm color.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a nice car. Now, listen, you'll be here at 3 o'clock Thursday. We want you to do the whole show with us.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Forty.
All right, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's Mr. Forty, everyone.
A newsmaker calling. Buzz? Sorry for that interruption.
It's going all right.
I heard a theory that whoever leads in the polls at Labor Day will be elected president. And although Newsweek gives Gore a 10-point lead, most polls show the candidates to be neck and neck. There are other theories collected by the New York Daily News. Here are a few of them. It's the height advantage. If the height advantage theory is true, then Al Gore wins. He's 2 inches taller than George W., and Jimmy Carter's the only president to have ever beaten someone taller than himself. Laker fans have noticed that every time the NBA team wins a title in an election year, the Republican wins. The Lakers won again this year. Another theory says that as women's skirts get shorter, the Democrat wins, but women these days are wearing skirts of varying lengths, from very long to very short.
Yeah, so. Theories are full of F.
That's the point. And when you put them up side by side, that's when you realize that's the truth.
I heard a theory that whatever sticker goes in the back of Don's Cadillac, that's the winner.
Oh, dear. Hope it doesn't arrive. On his morning TV show, Regis Philbin will be joined by his wife this week for the first time since the tabloid stories about an affair with a former cheerleader.
Hi, this is Joy. We've resolved our differences.
Did you see it today?
No, I didn't.
They have the entire new opening.
Mm-hmm.
Same stupid song, but new opening, new set.
Right.
New thing where these two double doors open up, and he actually walks out by himself. So are they planning to even have another?
He said today that they are eventually going to hire somebody else to do it. But I like the spotlight being on me.
And the coffee mugs now say Live with Regis.
Wow.
Yeah, they've taken Cunny Lee's name off everything. They've eliminated her from everything.
What did they do in lieu of R2K trivia?
Now it is simply travel trivia.
Travel trivia.
Where the same stupid wheel comes down. Unbelievable. They've really erased her. That's Gelman all the way.
Yeah.
They've erased any trace of her from that show.
A wheel comes down and he spins the wheel and you get to play for a trip. But they've decided that because people who they call on the phone are so stupid, that if the first two people don't get the answer correct, then just nobody wins that day.
That's it. We've had our two idiots. And it's time to move on. Fine.
Because, a lot of times the question is like, this is the missing color of the American flag. Red, white, and then they go to people in Fargo and Green Bay. And
love your suit, Regis.
They go to 5, 6, 7 people who don't know what the answer is.
I watch every day. All right, the missing color is... Oh, I don't know.
Joy will co-host with Reed on Friday. Producer Michael Gelman says the search for a permanent replacement for Kathy Lee Gifford will continue with no target date in mind, and he says he's not concerned about her being on the Today Show, possibly up against Live with Regis later this fall.
A bit interesting, Buzz. Hold on, please. Got to do a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Stay tuned for your chance at $500 for naming the secret sound. Only on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that's me and his money.
Come on over. Come on over, baby.
Kind of like a 5-foot fecal coil of comedy. The Don and Mike Show.
Come on over. Come on over, Buzzy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Chris Rock very nearly got robbed of his shot at an Emmy Award this year. Although he's been nominated in 6 different Emmy categories, the Academy forgot to include a couple of those nominations on the ballot.
They're just trying to screw me. I know they're trying to screw me, and I tell you right now, I'm going to take that crap. Where's my Emmy? Give me my Emmy and tell everybody else to sit down. We don't need an Emmy. We need a Chris Rock show.
The Academy says it sent out new ballots that do include all of Chris's nominations.
Of course they sent out new ballots. You wouldn't expect them not to send out new ballots. They're sending out new ballots because I'm hot.
There you go. At long last, some good news about troubled rapper Eminem. The first good news is that he settled the $10 million lawsuit filed against him by his estranged wife, Kimberly. She was suing for his rap song that describes how he would kill her while their 5-year-old daughter watched.
He's a nice guy.
The other good news is Eminem has agreed to give up custody of that daughter. Thank goodness.
What did you say? Eminem sitting around writing a song, go, yo, yo, here's the title of the new song. I want to kill your mom while you watching me.
There you go.
Get Dr. Dre on the phone. I need to make that now.
Yeah, give him custody.
Hello, Dre. This is Slim Shady. How does this strike you? I want to kill your mommy while you watch.
That's great, Em. Go for it. One of the advertising banner airplanes recently buzzed the CBS studio lot in Los Angeles. It carried a banner that read, Big Brother is worse than you think. Get out now. The show has proven to be such a disappointment to everyone. This week, the network is offering a bribe. On Wednesday, the show will offer the contestants a briefcase filled with $10,000 cash and their freedom. The first taker gets it, passing out the $500,000 prize money. This show is so fly by the seat of the pants. Yeah. So make it up as you go along. You can't do that with that guy.
George is going to take the money.
You think he will?
The roofer?
Yeah.
I'm sad to say, I get sucked right back into that show every time, and the reason is Frida. Frida,
she loves it.
She loves Big Brother. I've said to her, why are we watching this? She said, because these people are doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen, I love watching TV.
Right.
But even I'm bored with Big Brother. She said, that's what's great about Big Brother. It's boring people. I like watching boring people.
So you could watch The Real World and get the same thing with younger, more interesting people that have a lot more going on, a lot more arguments. Even Road Rules is
better. I know, but Big Brother's on it every night at 8 o'clock,
And she's in the habit of watching it, and she watches it, so I watch it.
Road Rules last night, though, I'll give them credit. I don't even know if it was a rerun, because I never watch Road Rules, but I'm watching Road Rules, and they go out, and they're like in Australia, and they're out in the, they're going out to the Barrier Reef, and they have the boat going up and down, and you say, oh, boy, I'm not feeling too well, and you say, hey, you know, who knows, are they going to go all the way with this? And then, like, a 30-second shot of the guy just leaning off the back of the boat, puking his guts out from a distance, but you see him just going, like that. And then they went shark hunting, which was a lot of fun, too. Well, whoever leaves the Big Brother house with that suitcase full of money will be replaced by a 22-year-old Florida woman who is described as very attractive. The rules allow for new people to be added to the house.
This little girl had knockers.
The woman Beth was one of the original alternates, so here she comes.
Well, see, that's a good idea. Put some more hotties in the house.
And as if Big Brother didn't have enough trouble already, it's now being sued by the guy who owns the rights to the work of George Orwell. This guy says the producer of the show even named his company Orwell Productions. That and the use of the phrase Big Brother, he says, are copyright infringements. The copyright owner says he'll take his chances on this case in front of a jury in Chicago.
You know, there was a similar story when Van Halen came out with that Jump record.
Mm-hmm.
When they're out, the album is called 1984.
Right.
And some people, on behalf of George Orwell,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, sued Van Halen.
Right.
Because they said 1984 was, you know, the year that everything was supposed to end.
Did they win that lawsuit?
No, they lost.
And I don't think they could win the Big Brother one either.
Yeah, I don't know,
except the Big Brother was a creation of George Orwell.
Orwell Productions, they'd lose.
Yeah, that I think they'll lose on. 1984, though, that was the right decision.
I know that they
had a fan number.
Yeah, yeah, but they had Eddie go in and argue. You know, at least,
smoking a cigarette.
Hey, Mom. Like it's a year. It could have been 85 or 86, Mom. I think in 91 I'm going to have a son. I'm going to name him Wolfgang.
Wolfie, class dismissed.
And then, like, David Lee Roth's going to leave. We're going to replace him with Sammy Hagar.
That's the best Van Halen.
Then David Lee Roth's going to come back. And then we're going to replace him with the guy from...
Who was that?
Who was it?
Does anybody know that?
There's a hole in my heart.
Gary
Cherone from Extreme, but then he'll suck. And then we'll be out playing with the grassroots at the Montgomery County Craft Fair. You know, I had an offer to play with the grassroots again this year.
And what happened?
But I can't do it because they're in Reno.
Oh, they're going to be in Reno?
They're in Reno, and they called and asked if I would like to jet in to perform with them.
Yeah, they've got their own plane. They send a plane for you to go out to the fair and do that.
And that would be a plane with propellers. You know that.
Oh,
$19
an hour. Maybe a plane with one propeller. Hollywood's not exactly going broke, but it could have and should have made more money than it did this summer. We know what it did last summer, over $3 billion. This summer, $2.75 billion. It's still the second most money-making summer in Tinseltown history, but that's partly because ticket prices went up. Attendance was actually down by as much as 15%. My theory, poor movie choices, but one industry spokesman partly blames the TV show Survivor.
I blame Charlie Stossel.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
I think it's Charlie's fault.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
I blame him for all movie woes.
I blame Mr. Double.
This Hollywood guy blames Survivor. He says even though it was only on one weeknight each week, people were talking about that instead of the movies they'd seen. Last summer, they talked about The Sixth Sense and The Blair Witch Project.
Oh,
this summer, nada.
They got money coming out of their ass. Hold on, please, Buzz. We'll be back with more news and more comment after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
It's where opinions are like cowboy hats. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, you know, we're getting deep into football season.
Yeah.
You know, the fantasy league is underway.
There's a lot of talk about you today in the hallways.
Big winner I was.
Yeah.
In the fantasy league. And Friday when we start our regular football segment, pick the pros until they scab and bleed, we're going to have girly man Jim Nance on for the very first time this year.
We look forward to having Nancy on the show. It's going to be a pleasure to have him back.
Good chance for us to yell at Nancy and take some more of his money this year.
Who's the new crew? Do they have any new people on their show this year?
Ditka.
Ditka's the new addition.
Ditka and Glanville.
Right.
And I think maybe still Randy Cross with his gigantic teeth.
I know on Inside the NFL they brought in Dan Marino. Dan Marino's the new addition to the
worthless.
Did you see any of the happening CBS show Outside this week?
No, I didn't catch it.
There was a lot of it shot outside, 57th Street in New York for CBS. But some outside. But the whole thing looked like a cooking segment. It was horrible.
So all those football shows, they need Ainsley.
They do.
Ainsley Harriott.
It always comes back to Ainsley Harriott for you.
I miss him. I cry every day that that man's still not on television.
He is. One more week.
Is he on for one more week?
It's the final week.
Oh, that's just like a knife in my heart.
There was one great thing on NFL today, though, and that's when Glanville came out on a golf cart.
Jerry Glanville, my friend. And then Jim Nance didn't give the right cue, so he called him Eva Braun. And then he started speaking German. Lieber, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Well, considering all that's happened, we didn't expect to report this. Superman actor Christopher Reeve broke his leg. Reeve has been paralyzed since a horseback riding accident 5 years ago. USA Today says it happened 2 weeks ago, this leg breaking, during his exercise regimen.
I mean, like it matters.
Doctors say it probably happened because Reeve's bones have become weaker, but they say fixing the break was a simple procedure.
Buzz, I have a serious question.
Yes.
Who told him?
Who told him that his leg was broken?
Yeah.
I don't know. Perhaps he saw it. I don't know. And you know how I hate to alarm people.
Knock, knock, knock. Hell calling.
Oh, come on. It's just a joke.
I know.
It's just a joke.
We're all going to hell.
I hate to alarm people, but one of the country's biggest makers of school buses says 6,000 of those buses have bad brakes.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
No, no, no. Climb the back. Oh, that's not working.
Joe.
The company that made the brakes over the past 2 years says the driver can lose braking power for up to 3 seconds at speeds under 20 miles an hour.
Brakes are shot. We're going downhill.
There have been no accidents documented so far.
Whoa. Oh, dear. Okay, attendant. Who's hurt?
Now, Charlie, how does it go?
I remember Joe. Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Right.
The defective brakes could be on 300,000 vehicles, most of them big commercial trucks.
Mm.
Nobody got killed or even seriously hurt, but it was not a good weekend for parachuting. Friday in Cincinnati, Tim Lee Whirling II had to be rescued after he jumped from that city's tallest building.
Help.
His chute got snagged on a hotel on his way down. Police pulled him in through a window.
Mm.
Then they arrested him for disorderly conduct and inducing panic.
Get off.
In the skies over...
You're about out of sound effects on that story, aren't you?
Almost. Now, in the skies over Pennsylvania, a guy named Andy Judy jumped out of a Cessna and caught his foot on the airplane.
Oh, God.
The pilot says he set the plane down in a field instead of a runway to make Andy's landing a little softer. After getting his scrapes and bruises doctored, Andy is okay.
Ow. One more, Buzzy.
They've called off the search. Listen, this is a weird one. They've called off the search for an Australian man after they found a human head in the belly of a giant codfish.
A cod?
A cod. 97 pounds of cod.
One oh, my fish. God, a cod is like... I can't imagine a cod could eat a human.
I think you could only get, like, a Beetlejuice head in a cod.
Really?
It was
you know, at the end of Beetlejuice,
yeah,
the little head is so small.
Yeah.
No, it was an actual full-size human head.
How can a cod eat anything outside of a Beetlejuice head?
It's a huge fish. It's 97 pounds. It was
come eat my head.
It always gets back to the Beetlejuice.
That is the definitive small head reference on this show.
When he's sitting in the doctor's office at the very end of the movie.
And the guy's looking at him, just turning back and forth.
Mm. The fish was caught by the same crew that lost fellow fisherman Michael Peter Edwards. 39-year-old man fell out of his fishing boat early last week.
No.
Cod do not have sharp teeth, but they are scavengers. Experts say the body was probably devoured by sharks, which then discarded the head. On Tuesday, as processors were preparing the 5-foot-long fish for sale, they found the head inside.
Oh, you boy. I'd like to have that in your chowder.
It wasn't immediately identifiable. Police say the DNA tests could take up to 6 weeks, but quoting one police official, it's too much of a coincidence for the head not to belong to the missing man.
That's a good head.
You got head in my cod. You got cod in my head.
Great taste.
It tastes great together.
Great together. Thank you, Buzz, for the news and the comments. Toe Tappers right there. Toe Tapping Touchstones. One last chance for you to win some stuff. Be the 100th caller right now.
Lisa's standing by. She'll count to 100. Phone number 877-365-3636.
That's great call.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's
the Don and
great,
Mike Show
yeah.
on Hot Talk.
You have no brain.
We have no music.
See the monitor?
You gotta appreciate it.
It's the lay of the land, my friend. The Don and Mike Show.
What you're supposed to say right now? How long was my hand up?
Like Jerry. Thank you, Ava Braun. Thank you for putting the music in the machine.
Oh, God.
Oh, Mike, you got a message for us?
Here we go.
Can we thank Papa John? Okay, that counts. That, the first part of the fall season.
That's me.
Thank you, Mike. Brought to you by Egar's, the best cigar site on the planet. Go to www.egar's.com.
And I'd like to thank Bill Lowe, the general manager at Papa John's at 9929 Main Street. I guess that's right here in Fairfax, Virginia,
sure.
for bringing us some delicious pizza. Thank you.
Hi, Bud.
I got him, Mike.
In sports, Terrell Davis is banged up again, and the Denver Broncos could be without their top running back against Atlanta on Sunday. Davis sprained his left ankle in the first half of last night's 41-36 loss at St. Louis. He's listed as day-to-day. Davis missed much of last season after hurting his knee in Game 4 against the Jets. Good ratings news for Monday Night Football. Last night's regular season debut contest between the Rams and the Broncos scored ratings nearly as good as last year. That is impressive since a lot of people were still on the road returning from their Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, listen, shocker. It's not Dennis Miller. It's not Melissa Stark. It's not the new graphics. It was a great friggin' game.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best opening Monday night games in years.
Yeah, Monday night football ratings have tapered off over the past 5 seasons, which is why everyone is watching this so closely. Kansas City Chiefs head coach Gunther Cunningham is denying reports, claiming he thought about resigning after Sunday's season opening loss to Indianapolis.
Hi, my name is Gunther.
A Kansas City radio station reported that Cunningham told the team he considered quitting until his wife talked him out of it.
He's got to talk to his family, Howard, Richie,
to Cunningham. Several players confirmed the report to the Kansas City Star, but Cunningham refused to comment on the story.
Fonzie, Joni, Chachi,
Randall.
And finally, Sherman Lee Parks wasn't getting any younger at the age of 50. And after
Aline.
That's it. You win.
You're king of the Cunningham.
Play the Cunningham game.
That's the tip that after the entire Happy Days crew.
Sherman Lee Parks wasn't getting any younger at the age of 50, and after 9 months in jail for burglary, he couldn't take another day behind bars.
Pity.
So he busted out. What Sherman didn't know was that at that same time, in a nearby courtroom, a judge was ordering him to be released on time served. If he'd waited just a few more hours, Sherman would be a free man today. As it is, he's now back in a Dallas jail on escape charges.
Well, timing is everything.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
Yeah, gotta go!
No!
Great to be back. We will see you tomorrow with the all-new episode now, call number 100. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, one caller 100.
Yep, you are. What's your name?
And I'm Jim.
Jim, where are you from?
Manassas.
Jim, great movie for you. Won our last copy of Any Given Sunday.
Outstanding.
Love this movie. Great prize pack for you from Blockbuster Video. Any Given Sunday stars Cameron Diaz, Al Pacino, Dennis Quaid, and Jamie Foxx. Available to rent on VHS and DVD at Blockbuster Video. Please enjoy.
Outstanding. I will enjoy that one.
Where are you calling from?
Manassas.
Oh, I asked you that. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Hold on, that's it. We got to go. All right, the Jerry Lewis tapes part 2 tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be great.
We'll also check in at the beach house tomorrow. We'll get the update from Wendell Hall. I think maybe even the girl who we paid $250 to go out and give him manual relief is coming in tomorrow.
Fantastic.
All of that on tomorrow's episode. Thank you, and good night, Buzz.
Thank you,
and
good night, Don.
Thank you, good night, Mike.
Thank you, good night, Don.
And now, Robbie?
Eva.
Please. Eva, throw your beret in the air. Just like Sydney, Tyler Moore.
You might make it after all.
Great. How long was my hand up?
You have a monitor?
I'd appreciate it.
Nice catch, Eva. Ava.
Ava.
We'll see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sunday goes to you saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.